Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Wednesday, the 27th day of April 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. He predicted it with precision. It's now happening. Porter Stansberry will be joining us, economic researcher and journalist, in the last 30 minutes to talk about the massive acceleration in the decline of the dollar. Lord Christopher Monckton will pop in for 30 minutes in the middle of the next hour to continue to break down the moves towards global government, because we ran out of time last week. Philip J. Berg, the lawyer, who, if you got to pick one person to be the father of the birther movement, it's Philip J. Berg. He's joining us coming up in the next segment. Mancal Muller, also scheduled to be popping in later in the hour to give us his brief take on things, and Webster Griffin Tarpley. Obviously, Donald Trump, big Democratic Party donor, globalist, penny stock man, eminent domain lover, gun grabber, socialist healthcare supporter, being worshipped by Republicans right now, just looking for somebody with slick talk to save them, just like you look for slick talk with Obama to save you. They're all puppets, and I have said here on air repeatedly that I think it's another Ross Perot-type situation to take votes away from a person like Ron Paul or somebody else if the system doesn't like them. And so another third-party candidate like Bloomberg, who can self-finance, could also do that on the left if they want him to. And he's basically a spoiler in there. This is a guy who gives big money to Chuckie Schumer, all of it. And the way he was having a press conference about the birther issue, and then, boom, Obama comes out smiling like the Cheshire Cat, saying, oh, hey, we're releasing this information now. Knowing full well there will now be a huge debate about the photo, not even a scan. It's a photo. You can see that with the shadows and the lettering. We've had our Photoshop people look at it. It's a photo of whatever this is. So it'll keep the controversy going. It'll only intensify it. I've got a lot of questions about it. But as I've always said, two things are going on here. We don't know which one. But we do know they've been covering up his college records, his childhood records, his Indonesian records. We know he did change his name to Barry Sotero. We know he did become an Indonesian citizen, and there's statements to that effect, but they've erased those documents, and then that would make it where he wasn't eligible. So they're busy distracting us with the birth certificate, as Wayne Madsen said here in the last 30 minutes of the broadcast yesterday. Investigative journalist, he said, I believe that he was born in Hawaii, but that there is a cover-up going on. So two things are happening. We know there's a cover-up. Was there a cover-up because he wasn't born in Hawaii? Or was there a cover-up because they don't want the other records looked at? And within those two points, were they covering it up to create this non-issue distraction later? And an example of that, to boil it down and make it simple, Ken Starr and the tens of millions they spent going after Clinton wasn't for missile secrets, wasn't for murders, wasn't for corruption and for bribery and Whitewater and Arkansas and the rest of it. It was for Monica Lewinsky and the lies, the special prosecutor, the court case. Because a sexual case with Paula Jones or with Monica Lewinsky, that can be limited just to Bill Clinton. But when you've got all these other dirty hands with the Republicans involved and Rumsfeld transferring nuclear reactors to North Korea and Clinton involved, you can't have investigations about all that and espionage against this country by the globalist, transferring us deeper into the world government, getting rid of Glass-Steagall, all complicit with both parties' leadership. But if it's about sex, then you can go after Clinton with a big political diversion just on that issue and then make all the other crimes of the rest of the government be all about Clinton and put it on Clinton. Not that Clinton's a good guy, but he's a puppet, a birdcage liner that they wanted to then put all the blame on to put a new one in, George Herbert Walker Bush, and then Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Sotero. So that's what's happening here. We'll break it all down, jam-packed transmission today. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live. It is the 27th day of 2011 on this Wednesday edition. Bernanke is set in a few hours to give a speech dealing with QE2, QE3. The mainstream media and analyst, Bloomberg, Fox, CNN, they're all saying, oh yeah, $7 a gallon gas by next year, $5 a gallon of gas later in the year here. It's now a foregone conclusion. They're now admitting it's because of dollar devaluation. They're now admitting the stock market's going up because it takes more dollars to buy those stocks. Just like gold is going up, silver's going up, oil's going up. They're not actually going up. The dollar is going down. So you think your stock market's worth more. You think your dollar still has the same value as this situation unfolds. We're going to be breaking it down here later in the broadcast. We're not going to let this whole birth certificate issue completely take over, but obviously it's important. Now, in the last 3 years, Webster Tarpley, Phil Berg, and a lot of other people who I know are serious investigators have said that, well, there's a cover-up going on of the birth certificate. It was first raised by Clinton, Hillary. He wouldn't release it then. And then it's been raised by many others. Then they released the certificate receipt, which is not the original birth certificate, and they tend to basically bait the issue by saying, no, this is the official birth certificate. People said, no, it's not. They said, yes, it is. That went on for 2 years. Now, about 6 months ago, they said, okay, it isn't the original. Release it, Obama. Now they've released another one that we've looked at that is a clear photo, not a scan, and I've had our Photoshop folks look at it. It's got a shadow on it. There's white around the letters and numbers. It's as if they want people to say this is fake. I mean, the CIA, if they did make a fake, they can make fake newscasts, fake Bin Laden videos. They could put something out better than this. So more and more, I think it's a complete psyop, and that they held this back regardless of what the truth is to later make it the seminal issue of his credibility. Not the wars, the torture, the signing statements, the secrecy, the executive orders, the corruption, the banker bailouts, the government-run health care, the nightmare of tyranny that we're witnessing, the QE2, the dollar devaluation. It's all about the birth certificate. Just like with Clinton, it was all about Monica Lewinsky, not missile secrets of the communist Chinese. They love to pick issues like this. Now, he certainly has been covering it up. So either he covered it up to later make it a political issue when he released it, or he's wanted to hide something, and they've now had 2.5 years to fake this, but it's a very shoddy fake if it is a fake. I mean, they've got forensic experts looking at it right now. And for the next 25 minutes or so, we've got Eric Mancow Muller, who's been saying this is a staged event, a setup that we've been suckered into for years. He's going to be popping in to get his view on that. We've got Phil J. Berg, who was the former Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania, big NAACP guy, liberal. Early on, just said show the birth certificate. They've erased records in Kenya. They've frozen his college records here. Trump's now saying release those. The point is, did they cover it up to make it a political issue later and try to discredit those of us that looked at it, or are these fakes? And he joins us. ObamaCrimes.com is the website, and we've got a clip of Obama with very pleased with himself today, out there breaking in, taking over the TV networks. They claimed it was all impromptu. It was clearly scripted. Trump's out there giving a press conference at the very time they break in. I mean, this is wag the dog type stuff. We're going to try to decipher it. Philip J. Berg joining us from his law offices in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Phil, what do you think's going on here?
Well, even if it is a legit birth certificate, I've raised the issue for over 2 years that that's not the significant part here. Significant is the fact that he was adopted in Indonesia. And I
That's right. I mean, on record, you've been like a broken record here on this show and others saying, look, it's the Indonesia. That's the issue. They want us to look at the birth. Wayne Madsen said that yesterday. Look at the birth certificate. You knew they were hiding something going back 3 years ago. And 2 years ago, you said, look, it's Indonesia.
When I first filed my first lawsuit, August 21st, 2008, I said to Obama, prove me wrong. Show me your long-form vault birth certificate. He didn't, so we started checking into his life. And then we found out, I mean, it's right there. In one of his books, he mentions his parents had divorced. He says, my stepfather, Lolo Sotoro, returned to Indonesia before my mother and I. When I went there, I immediately went to school. Well, in the 1960s, Indonesia was at war. The only ones who could go to school there were those that were considered natural born. You also got that status by being adopted or acknowledged by your stepfather. Now, to enforce the stepfather, it's in his book. Also, we have a school record on our website, ObamaCrimes.com, which indicates his name is Barry Sotoro, which indicates that his nationality is Indonesia and his religion is Islam, which is Muslim. Now, that's significant because if he hasn't legally changed his name after being adopted, his real name is Barry Sotoro. So this is just, as far as I'm concerned, a smokescreen. I was on a radio interview this morning. Someone said, oh, Phil, now you're reaching for straws. I'm not reaching for straws. For 2 years, over 2 years, I've raised the issue of the adoption. It's a major issue. When he came back at age 10 to Hawaii, what was his status? If he was natural born, when he was adopted in Indonesia, he lost his status because Indonesia did not provide for dual citizenship back in the 1960s. For dual citizenship, you need both countries to agree. And Indonesia did not agree with the United States until 2005.
Well, Phil, let me stop you briefly, and we're going to hold you, you know, for a couple segments and have Tarpley, Webster Tarpley, pop in with his view to augment and add to the debate. We've got Mancal Muller popping in a little bit, later syndicated radio host. My issue is something corrupt is going on here. The way they wouldn't release it for 3 years, you know, going way back into the campaign. The way they released this receipt of it that also had a lot of issues with it and kept saying this is the long form. We know they lied about that. It was almost like they were baiting the hook the whole time. But we know that private corporations, intelligence agencies, you name it, can make really good fakes of anything they want, including fake newscasts, fake video. They can shoot video of a few seconds of you and then morph it with computer programs that are almost two decades old. My question here is, looking at this new long-form birth certificate, looking at it in Photoshop, blown up, I mean, it looks like a five-year-old did it. It looks fake. If they were going to put a fake out, it would be better than this. Something's going on here.
Well, we'll have to take a look at it. I'm looking for the response from the forensic people. The key you have to look at is the doctor's name and the doctor's signature. I'm sure that matches up. But it wouldn't put anything past me, because you have to remember, for, as you stated, for the past 2.5 years, they've been saying that the document they put up was the birth certificate. It was not. So if they were lying about that, they could be lying about this. But even, I don't care what it is, even more significant is the fact he was adopted. When he went to Occidental College, people remember calling him Barry. His legal name is Barry Sotoro. If he hasn't legally changed his name is Barry Sotoro. As far as I'm concerned, Obama is a fraud. And he's a phony, and it's the biggest hoax against the United States of America in over 234 years. And I'm not going to stop on this. I'm going to continue. Now, many other attorneys have pursued different actions over the years. I believe I'm the only one, the only attorney in the country who has brought up the adoption issue. And I think it's significant, and I think that's why my phone's ringing off the hook today. Everyone wants an interview. I was interviewed overseas already by The Guardian in England and other places.
Well, Phil, to stop you again and just inject the wider spectrum here, this has gone from a backwater issue that you going back almost 3 years ago, and I want you to give us that timeline, brought forward. You were the first from my research and have filed lawsuits. You've been credible. You've been focused. You haven't circulated some of the fake reports that have been out there purporting to be his foreign birth certificates. But we know that people like Dr. Corsi, you know, he's been detained when he goes to Kenya. We know a lot of this started when the grandma over there said, yes, he was born here, and they've got a statue over there. And then Michelle Obama comes out and says in speeches years ago that we went back to Kenya, his home country. So there's all of this going on. It's reasonable to ask these questions. It was unreasonable for him to not release this earlier. So something's very suspicious. But now it's one of the biggest issues in the country. Donald Trump surged in the polls when he covered it. USA Today poll yesterday, 62% not believing he was born in this country, not sure. And so when he said in his speech today, the vast majority of Americans know that this is baloney. This may be desperation. This may be a fake document. I think they miscalculated. I think this is going to blow up even bigger, Phil.
Well, I think so, and it should. But also we should, as we're looking at that birth certificate, we should really concentrate on the adoption issue. It's really significant. I had an argument with an immigration attorney last year. He wouldn't buy the argument about with Obama. I said, let's ask about the children from Haiti being adopted here in the United States. He said, oh, that's easy. They sever all relationships with the people in Haiti. They take on the name of the family here in the United States, and they take on the citizenship here in this country. Well, I said, then why is that different with Obama? He said, it's different. It's not different. Obama is a fraud. Let's see all the records now when he came through an immigration at age 10. Let's see what happened. See, I really believe that he came through on his Indonesia passport. I believe he's not natural born. I believe he's not naturalized. I think he's an illegal alien, and therefore his term as a U.S. senator from Illinois was fraud, and the salary and benefits should be returned to the U.S. Treasury.
We're going to come back from breaking and with Mancal Muller get your view on some of the statements that he makes and vice versa. And then we've also got Webster Griffin Tarpley popping in a little bit with Phil Berg in the segment after that. And we'll be holding you to about 45 after or so, Phil. Is that good?
That's fine. That's fine. Okay. I'll stay with you as long as you want.
All right. Fantastic. Also want to talk about where your court cases are going. You know, the issue here is Obama has lived all over the world. He's got at least two other names that are in school records. We've never seen a president with these type of clampdowns on records. And why wouldn't he release it years ago? And now it's a big national issue. I mean, is the system pushing this because it's a nice diversion from other things that are happening, like the dollar imploding, gas prices exploding, or is there something to it? All right, Eric Mancal Muller, big syndicated host on WABC in New York. He doesn't like Obama, but I've been on his show for many years, and going back over 2 years, he said he thinks it's a setup, not by folks that are asking the questions, but overall, Obama hasn't released it playing along because he doesn't want you looking at the rest of his record. But we've got the original investigator, Phil J. Berg, who himself's a Democrat and was just asking the questions here with us, and I can attest and pull the videos and audio up. Phil Berg's been saying for really more than 2 years, Indonesia is the issue. And they admit his name's Barry Sotero. Well, you had to give up your citizenship to become an Indonesian citizen. And so we know there's been secrecy. Is that why they've tried to keep everything secret? But I got to say, Mancal, imagine there I was live on your show today for an hour and a half. And while I'm live with you at about 9:30, the president cuts in over Donald Trump. The whole thing clearly staged. The network's all ready. I don't know if Trump's involved in this, but you had the point that Trump's a big Democratic donor. The numbers are out. He does favor Democrats. Is he trying to throw things here? You're on the air with Phil Berg, Mancal. What's your take on this?
Well, Alex, I've got a lot to say. Look, I voted for Ross Perot, and Ross Perot was a loser. I think what we're seeing here, look, it's so incredible. You and I are doing our little dance. We're arguing. All of a sudden, Donald's on TV. We're listening to it. And then Obama comes on and says, I was at the White House watching this, and I had to jump on TV. Imagine this. Jumping on TV, all the networks broke into Donald Trump. Not to say that we had gone to war or that we had been attacked, but he was watching it. He couldn't take it anymore, and he came out with his birth certificate. I mean, it's a powerful thing. This birther issue, to me, has always felt like a setup, as I said. But look, now Obama has given a major boost and major credibility to Donald Trump. I wonder if they're not setting Donald Trump up to be the spoiler. He will siphon off enough Republican votes that stiff Mitt Romney will be a dead duck, and he'll split the vote, and Obama will be back in the White House. It does feel like this president wants desperately to have Donald Trump run against him because they think, maybe they're wrong, they think that he's an easy one to beat.
Well, he's got a lot of skeletons and a lot of skeletons that are already out of the closet. That is Trump. Obama does not want to run on his record. So there's two ways to look at it. They kept this secret for so long, have acted very suspicious because something was there. I mean, what about him going back 2 years ago saying that the receipt of the birth certificate, and we'll put that on screen, was the birth certificate, and they'd say you were a conspiracy theorist if you pointed out that, no, that's not the long form. And again, we'll put that on screen. And then now they do release the long form. I mean, ManCal, how long did they do that?
Well, what did you just say? A couple of years. I mean, Phil Berg, I've been following Phil here, and it's not my show, Alex, but I mean, I always wondered if the real birth certificate would list him as a Muslim. That's what I thought. I don't know. Phil, I mean, does this end this issue for Phil?
Phil.
Yeah, this is not nice talking to you. This is Phil Berg. No, it doesn't end the issue. I think many other attorneys in the country dealt with just the birth certificate issue. From over 2 years ago, I brought up the issue of the adoption in Indonesia. And when he's adopted, he loses his status of whatever he had. So if he was natural born, once you're adopted in another country, Indonesia did not provide for dual citizenship back in the 1960s. He lost his status. The greatest status he could have now is naturalized. I don't even think he's naturalized. I think he's, believe it or not, an illegal alien, and therefore his term as United States Senator from Illinois was fraud. And hopefully people will zero in on that issue.
Wow.
And obviously, if you can't be a U.S. Senator, you
but
can't
Phil,
be president.
What about the issue of them for 2 years plus saying that the certificate of live birth, all they released was this computer printout and told us we were conspiracy theorists? In fact, we'll show folks a document cam shot. They kept saying that this was the original and we were conspiracy theorists. Now today, they released this. What's your take on that?
Well, I think it just shows there are a bunch of liars there. Also, significant as far as I'm concerned on both documents is his race. His race is listed as African. African was not a race in 1961. You were either black or Negro back in 1961. You weren't African. I mean, that's why people have to look carefully at what these documents say.
But they've got experts that know how to fake a document. They can create fake newscasts if they want. That's what I'm saying. Why does this thing... So you're saying you question the providence of this birth certificate?
Absolutely. And why didn't they release it 2.5 years ago?
All right, I want to get Eric ManCal Mueller of ManCal.com's take on that. Phil Berg's take on that on the other side. Of course, ObamaCrimes.com. We're going to be breaking it all down. ManCal, stay there. Phil Berg, stay there. I want to get a little bit more from you, ManCal. Then we'll bring Webster Griffin Tarpley, another researcher, into Obama's providence with Phil Berg.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Discussions. I was just back there listening to Chuck. He was saying, it's amazing that he's not going to be talking about national security. I would not have the networks breaking in if I was talking about that, Chuck, and you know it. as many of you have been briefed, we provided additional information today about the site of my birth. Now, this issue has been going on for 2.5 years now. I think it started during the campaign. And I have to say that over the last 2.5 years, I have watched with bemusement. I've been puzzled at the degree to which this thing just kept on going. We've had every official in Hawaii, Democrat and Republican, every news outlet that has investigated this confirm that, yes, in fact, I was born in Hawaii August 4th, 1961
okay.
in the Kapi'olani Hospital.
So there you have it. The whole video's up on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, everywhere else. All I know is for two-plus years, all they gave us was this receipt of it, and they claimed this was a birth certificate and that we were conspiracy theorists. Now they release this. And one of the original researchers into this, Phil J. Berg, joins us. Syndicated radio host Eric Mancal Muller also joins us. Webster Tarpley coming up in about 10 minutes. And Mr. Berg is getting more intel in from his forensic team that's looking at this. Right before the break, Mr. Berg, and I want to get Mancal's take on this in a moment, you came out and said that the preliminary points are coming out and that you're now questioning the providence of this birth certificate. You're saying this could be a phony.
Well, it could be, but you know, even if it let's assume for a minute it's not a phony. The issue then is he's adopted in Indonesia, and that changes his status. He would not know; he would no longer be natural born. He would be naturalized, and naturalized, you cannot be president of the United States. You know, when you heard Obama, he made like a big joke about this. I've been watching this for 2.5 years. Yeah, but you also spent like $2 million fighting all our lawsuits. Why didn't you release this information? Why didn't you grant discovery in any of these cases? Because if you granted discovery, we could have gotten this birth certificate, but also we could have gotten your adoption records and all your other records. When he went to school in California, Occidental, people called him Barry. His legal name, I believe, is Barry Sotoro. If he hasn't legally changed it, every time he uses Barack Hussein Obama, that's fraud.
All right, stop right there, Phil, because I want to go back to Mancal and get his take, and then I'll continue with you after Mancal goes. But that's a good point that Phil has. Why did they spend $2 million fighting Phil Berg's lawsuits and millions fighting other lawsuits? Why didn't he just release this, Mancal?
Well, and why didn't they just give it to Hillary? I think this is a false flag kind of situation. I don't know if it's a forgery. And look, Alex, you're not going to be able to understand what I'm talking about sitting in Austin, Texas. You and Kinky Friedman are the only, and a couple of singers, the only people that I know in Austin. Let me say this. I live in the inner city. When I was a baby, my mother had to clutch me at her chest, and my brothers, they had to hide because of the groups that were going. We lived in Memphis when MLK was shot, when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot. I was in the riots, and you can see me all over the CNN footage when Rodney King was beaten, and it was terrifying. And you're going to come out and tell America that their first black president isn't eligible, and I live in the inner city with two children? My God, our cities will burn. I think they're all too afraid to admit what this guy is. And I also want to say, I found it sickening. Did you listen to all the media people, all the reporters, so-called reporters, as he says, news outlets? And let me finish on this, Alex, before you cut me off. I love the president sitting there laughing with all these reporters. Did you hear him chuckling? You just played it. And
yes.
I'd like to throttle Chuck Todd, Chucky Todd, and the rest of them. Let's think about this. They push through. We can't have light bulbs. We have to have these new toxic curly-Q light bulbs made by GE. GE makes $14 billion and gives a lot of money to the dummy craps and Obama. And they own NBC. We have no news. They pay no taxes on $14 billion, General Electric. We all have to get their new curly-Q light bulbs, and then Chucky Todd and Brian Williams and all of them sit there and chuckle. We don't get the real news. It's so confusing.
Well, Mancal, in your gut.
Al-Qaeda, in Libya, I mean, what's happening? There is a dark undercurrent going on. There is something sinister happening. And, what is it about this guy? And look, Donald Trump, they're setting him up to be a candidate. I think Obama, so that makes me nervous. I think Obama wants to run against Trump. But you know, Trump has brought up some interesting things. Alex, I guarantee people would know you from Austin, Texas Elementary. They'd know me. Why doesn't anybody remember this guy as a kid? What is his history?
Well, Mancal, let me shift gears back.
Who is this man we elected?
Let me shift gears back because I interrupted you trying to get in there. You are now starting to look at the fact that Sky Television headline, Al-Qaeda operative that killed troops, worked for British intelligence. They now admit that the head of the 7/7 bombings in London was British intelligence. Anwar al-Awlaki hiding out at the Pentagon, yeah. Fox News, and now Al-Qaeda being the core of the Libyan rebels. I'm glad that you're starting to turn the corner on that.
Alex, here's what I know, and it's the foundation of everything, and you know it, and you've used it to great success. And let's tell the people this is all they need to know when they watch the news or go to school or talk to their wife or talk to their boss or talk to whoever. It's a four-letter F word, and it's fear. And people in power have always used it. If you don't do what we say, you're going to go to hell. If you don't do what I say, I'm going to take your apartment and raise your kids with another man. If you don't do what I say, we're going to audit you. And this government uses fear. They use a boogeyman. Right now, they're using the boogeyman of Al-Qaeda. And do I think there are radical Muslims? Of course, yeah. I visited the Middle East. Boy, are they primitive kooks. But they keep stoking the fires. They keep creating this fear. My God, we may be going into our fourth war in Syria. And we've lost thousands of our young men and women, and we haven't gotten a drop of oil. It's insanity. It's madness. Now we're giving body armor and training to Al-Qaeda in Libya.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda, the same people that bombed us on 9/11. We let 500 hardcore terrorists go. Don't tell me America didn't know about that. We let 500 of them go. We've let how many of them go from Guantanamo on purpose? Yeah, I think we have to create an enemy. We have to have fear, because when people are afraid, they give up their rights. They give up their freedoms. Look at the way we're allowing our children to be molested at the airports by these TSA thugs. We're allowing our bodies to be filled with radiation because we're afraid. We're afraid. Not me. I don't have fear. You can rewire your brain, folks. Don't buy into their fear. Don't buy into their propaganda.
Sure, but going back, man, Cal, I like your little backhanded comment, because I was ranting at you today, and that's cute, that I've used fear to great effect.
I have... Brother, you didn't hear what I said. I'm saying that you're telling people about the fear. I'm not talking about you.
No, but going back, I want to say something. I do use fear, because when I'm afraid of something, when I'm concerned about taxes going up or open borders or stage terror, I come and tell people. So I'm saying, when you're at the edge of a cliff and you're hanging out over it, fear is a good thing when it's proper. I'm saying they orchestrate fear to manipulate people, and we need to understand that most of the things they try to make us scared of, like terrorism, aren't really that dangerous per capita, because you have more people dying from a honeybee sting every year than you do from terrorism. But in closing, Man Cal, give us your website and also any final questions for Alex, Phil Berg.
Alex, listen. Look, they use fear to manipulate us. If they wanted to beat these radical Muslims, guess what we would do? We would send our soldiers over there and we would kill them. End of story. We're not allowing our soldiers to kill them. When we catch them, we're letting them go. They want this fear, and when America is afraid, we give up our freedoms and we allow this kind of tyranny. And my only question for Phil Berg is he secretly working for Hillary Clinton? My website is mancow.com. I'm going to be listening. Alex, you have a great show. Thank you.
All right, you too. Well, that was a curveball from Eric Mancow Mueller. Phil Berg, your view on that question.
Well, first off, I'm not working secretly for Hillary Clinton. I did support her during the election, but very minor. I mean, I think I gave her $200 or $300, nowhere near the limit that you give of in the thousands of dollars or $35,000, whatever the number is. I didn't even have a lawn sign on my house for her. I did this because I'm a lifelong Democrat, and people say, how can you attack the Democratic Party? I did this because there's nothing more important than our U.S. Constitution. And that's what I'm fighting for. And Obama has walked all over the Constitution. If you think about it, Arnold Schwarzenegger, people have talked to for 10, 15 years about running for president. And what's he say? He says, I was born in Austria, amend the Constitution. Obama hasn't said anything. And for him to come out laughing and joking today on this issue, it's ridiculous. You know, it's not a joking issue, but more significant is his status. And again, it's from his book. You know, it's his status of being adopted in Indonesia. And I'm going to pursue my efforts here. I could use money if people want to make a contribution. We've been the only one, I believe, in the last 2.5 years focused on the adoption issue. Some people are saying, well, I've gotten calls today. They say, well, it shows his father's British, therefore he can't be natural born. I don't buy that argument. I buy the argument that you deal with the facts at the time.
Doesn't your mother just have to be natural born? And then, and of course, the laws have since changed. But at that time in the 60s, did you had to be born in the country, though, even if one of your parents was an American, or they had to be a certain age. What were the specifics?
The specifics were husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, even today, traveling around anywhere around the world. If both are U.S. citizens, the child born, when it comes back through immigration, that child is considered natural born. The problem you get into is if only one parent is a U.S. citizen. And we raised that point that if she was born in Kenya, and I still have the recording from her step-grandmother, who said she was in the hospital when he was born there, August 4th, 1961. If only one parent is a U.S. citizen, then you take the U.S. citizen, and that person had to live in this country for 10 straight years, and five of those years had to be after the age of 14. 14 and 5 was 19. She was only 18. So if he was born in Kenya, which I still believe he was, then the mother could not convey natural-born status. And some people say, Phil or Mr. Berger, you're playing on technicality. I said, I'm not playing on technicality. Congress established that rule. I think the rule today is if you're 15 plus 2 years. But Congress establishes that for natural-born status. So there's some real questions here. I guess the first thing we have to look at is the hospital, the doctor, see if the doctor was on staff, see what they did. But it was interesting, Amaya Satora, his half-sister last week, when she was interviewed, Pierce Morgan blew it because he said he didn't answer the question, how come in two different interviews you said your brother was born in two different locations? So we have to take a look at this document. Again, I don't care what this document really is. If ultimately it's valid, he loses his status when he's adopted in Indonesia.
But you've got a big research network out there. Since we've been on the air together the last 40 minutes, you've pointed out that it says race of father African. At the time, they would say... they would use other terms. I believe you're correct there, and we've also blown it up. There's white around all the words, both the signed written text and the typewriter printing. This is very bizarre, and this is a riddle wrapped in an enigma. I want to bring Webster Griffin Tarpley in, who you know well, doctor of history, researcher, economist, who's also been looking at this very closely, Genesis host, who every Saturday has you do an update. Webster, what's your preliminary view on what's happening here?
Well, first of all, this shows that agitation can lead to results, and people who think that the federal government is beyond their reach should now think again. Obama did not want to reveal this, and now he's been forced to reveal whatever he has revealed. I think the first step is, as Phil has been suggesting, we need to see a detailed analysis of this, forgeries. Is it fabricated? Is it real? What's with the name of the doctor? What if these people are still alive, can they provide some enlightenment? As Phil also points out, the really big question is the naturalization of Barack Hussein Obama, if that really is his name, in Indonesia as Barry Sotoro, the son of Lolo Sotoro, or Sotero, who was the guy that is his mother married, and therefore he is, by all accounts, became at that point a naturalized citizen of Indonesia. I would also extend a broader standard. If you want to be president, it means that you want to get your hand on the thermonuclear button. That gives you life or death power over virtually everybody in the United States and many people in the world. At that point, there is no private sphere. We want to see everything. We want to see his records from the prep school, Punahou, in Hawaii. We want to see the Occidental College records. We want to see the Columbia University records. We have this guy, Wayne Root, who says that he was in that year at Columbia. He's asked all the alumni. Nobody ever heard of Obama in that graduating class. We want to see the Harvard story. We want to see his tax returns. We want to see his records at this Business International Corporation, which is a notorious CIA front as long as it existed. We want to see his State Department file regarding the visas and trips that he took. For example, did he go to Pakistan early on with a couple of schoolmates? And
by the way, Webster, you're going to be in studio for an hour and a half Friday with us here in town, breaking this down as we work on a documentary film together. But my big issue here is, folks, they've been covering up his whole record like never before with anybody else in American politics. They wouldn't release this They said that the receipt of a certificate was the certificate, played dumb about it. Now they've released a supposed long form. Does anybody in their right mind think that if he was really born in Kenya, that they wouldn't produce a fake birth certificate now because 62% of the American people don't believe he was born here in the USA Today poll that came out yesterday? Does anyone think, when the government's been caught forging documents, making fake newscasts, that they are not capable of this? Webster Tarpley, then we'll get Phil Berg's take on that.
They've been lying the whole time. And the interesting thing is, now you see what a real birth certificate might look like if this is authentic. That's a big if. You see that it's typewritten. It has signatures on there in pen and ink. It's got a whole series of about 20 to 25 categories of information.
Where are the feet? Where are the feet?
That's what we were demanding the whole time. Yes, there's that too. Some states have it. I guess some states don't. The authenticity of that document now has to be established by experts in...
By the way, notice it's not a scan, so experts could do that properly. It's a photo. You can see it curving. It's a photo. That's even more suspicious.
All right. All of those things have to come out in the wash. But again, the further dimension, what's with Indonesia? And again, the standard has to be, you want your finger on the thermonuclear button, great. We get to know everything. And this applies to everybody. It applies to Obama, anybody running for president, anybody and everybody running for president.
Well, we know to join the FBI, you've got to give them the long-form birth certificate. Let's get final comments from Phil Berg, Webster Tarpley, then your phone calls coming up. We're going to be taking your phone calls coming up in the next hour. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. I'd like to get your take on the birth certificate question. That's the topic. Please only call in on that subject because I really want to focus in on that. 1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free number to join us today. We're talking to Attorney Phil Berg and Webster Griffin Tarpley, really two of the first people that I heard ever question the birth certificate after the Clinton people did. And they've certainly been covering it up. $2 million spent blocking Phil Berg. All I know is the media needs to answer for this. All of them that said that he'd released his long form when it was this receipt computer printout itself that folks, experts said was as fake as a $3 bill. And now this. Or is there a bigger psyop that they put out more fake stuff to keep the controversy going? Not that it's not a controversy and not important, but compared to dollar plunging and everything else, it's kind of like going after Clinton for sex instead of missile secrets. Final comment on that, Webster Griffin Tarpley, then I want to get Phil Berg's take.
I think the overriding issue is the blackmail issue, and the blackmail issue subsumes the things that you're mentioning. You have to imagine, if Obama is really not constitutionally qualified, if he was naturalized into Indonesia, or if this birth certificate is a fake, he is blackmailable. Why did he reverse his field on bombing Libya? He told Senator Lugar 48 hours before the bombing, there will be no military action against Libya. Then he turns around and does it. Does British intelligence, for example, have proof that he was born in Kenya? All of these questions. That's why we have to know everything. Because if the president is blackmailable, he can't be president. And that impacts every issue under the sun. And I think this is a way for people, leftists and others, centrists, independents, to understand. If the president can be blackmailed, that is a constitutional crisis, and we're still in a major constitutional crisis over this question of Obama's qualifications.
But going back, the reason you mentioned Kenya and British intel, that was a British holding, a colonial state still at the time, that he was born. Any questions or comments for Phil Berg, Webster?
Well, just congratulations. I mean, Phil, after all, was the first person to take this to the U.S. Supreme Court. We were there. I was happy to be an eyewitness, a supporter, on August 21st, 2008, when Phil went to the Supreme Court here in Washington. It was before the Democratic National Convention, raising these issues. And they always did it. He was always rejected on standing. And I would urge anybody in Congress who has a committee could issue a subpoena simply demanding to see more, the State Department file and some of these other things.
Because if they faked this, then they were smart, fake it in the files themselves. We need to have those files seized by Congress to really root out what's happening. Phil Berg has raced all over the country for 2.5 years trying to get to the bottom of this. And I think, Phil, you said it best. Why would they spend $2 million, closing comments, why would they spend money blocking you instead of just releasing this thing?
That's right. I mean, why spend the money? Why fight every lawsuit? Just released this 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago when I first started. Because there's more behind this. Like I stated, even if he was born in Hawaii, he loses his status when he's adopted in Indonesia. And that's the key we have to look at. We have to look carefully at this birth certificate. I don't think anyone had a race of African back in 1961. There's just so many issues here, and Obama comes out laughing today. It's a joke. It's not a joke. You know, the document they had, they might have changed the law in Hawaii, but that long form, the short form certification of live birth would not have gotten your child registered for Little League and would not have gotten you a passport. I think they recently changed that. So there's a lot more that we have to.
All right. ObamaCrimes.com, Tarpley.net, Infowars.com. Phil, I know you're getting on a plane soon to go out to California with one of your latest lawsuits dealing with this. We'll talk to you later this afternoon, figure out a time for you to come on by yourself later in the week. Tarpley in studio coming up on Friday. Thank you both, gentlemen. We'll be right back with the second hour, your phone calls, and a ton of other news on the plunging dollar.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're now into hour number two. Lord Christopher Monckton on the plunging dollar, open announcements of global government, the latest plans to bring in an eco-green tyranny. He'll be joining us for about 30 minutes coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to open the phones up right now about Obama's press conference, laughing, giggling, finally releasing what he says is the full birth certificate, not the fake receipt. Now, remember, they said there was no other certificate. This was it. And that really fueled this. They're not stupid. They knew that would do that. Why do you think they did that? To make this a political diversion later to say, see, I really was born here? Or have they had time to fake it? I mean, this is a psyop. There's no doubt. And I trust Donald Trump about as far as I could throw him. They've analyzed his record. Trump's donation history shows Democratic favoritism. Is he a ringer like somebody in a Don King fight? We've also got Miss America sexually molested by TSA. We've also got top Mexican drug lord, I traffic cocaine for the U.S. government. We've got coming up pretty soon, Bernanke's going to give his speech about QE2 and interest rates. Big news on that front. But I want to take a lot of your phone calls in this 30-minute block. Chris in Florida, you're on the air worldwide. Thanks for holding.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, a lot that Trump basically is just, they're using him to pull the birth certificate out. And then, you know, he's probably going to announce on his show that he's, you know, backed down. And that was his duty to bring the certificate out. So the dumbed-down Americans will believe that.
I'm very proud of myself for bringing this to a head. And it's true. Trump running around did bring this to a head.
Yeah, it's a joke. I don't want to waste too much of your time, but thanks. And I appreciate everything you do. And I'm trying to wake people up. So,
well, I mean, let me ask you, what's your gut? Because why didn't they just release this 2.5 years ago? Was it so they could make this a controversy and then discredit people? Because I don't think that's going to work. I think it's going to make it bigger now. Nobody believes what government says or puts out. Congress has a 9% approval rating. They could say the sky's blue. Nobody would buy it. Even if it's the truth, nobody's going to buy this. Or did they get desperate when right at 2/3 of the American people said they don't believe Obama was born here?
Yeah, well, my gut says that, you know, he's a fraud. I mean, I've always thought that. That's it. You know, I think he's a fraud, and I think it's going to backfire in their face.
All right, I appreciate you joining us, Chris. Moses in Arizona, maybe you can lead us out of this wilderness, Moses. What's your view?
Hello, Alex, and thank you for taking my call. I have several things. Number one, did you ever see that newspaper article when he was running for Senate and it said Kenyan-born
Obama? Yes, yes, and I believe that that was a manufactured article.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that, but that's been going around a lot.
Well, I know his grandmother said he was born in Kenya. That's really what started all this. And his wife at Democratic functions had said he went back to his homeland of Kenya. And your homeland's right. Where you're born. And Schwarzenegger's homeland is Austria. Why would she say his homeland was Kenya? And we can play that video clip if folks haven't seen it. I mean, look, they started all this. Why didn't they release it? What do you think's happening?
Well, you know how the states are contemplating passing these birther bills?
Yes.
Do you think that correlates in any way? Like heading them off at the pass? And then another thing, also, I was born in Manhattan, New York, like Mr. Trump was. And on my birth certificate, it states exactly who I am and who my parents were. But as far as the race is concerned, on both of my parents, it said Puerto Rican. Now, if memory serves me correctly, they used words back then, and I know all the states are different, but they used words such as Negro or the actual place of birth. Now, wouldn't that reflect Kenyan? On Obama's father's part?
Exactly. No. I mean, look, common sense. It would say Kenyan or it would say Negro. And because Anglo, Negro has become some type of pejorative or insult. Anglo isn't. It's just a scientific name. I mean, all it means, I guess, in Latin is dark. So great points. Why does it say African? We'll be right back with more of your calls.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I'm going to hit some breaking news, and we're going right to your calls on Obama taking to national television's airwaves, breaking in over every major program, broadcast, TV, cable, you name it. Breaking into the soap operas, breaking into the morning news shows, and not talking about some type of new war or some crisis or disaster, but laughing and giggling and saying that he was born in Hawaii and releasing his birth certificate. But I thought they released that 2.5 years ago, they said. They said there was no other certificate, that that little receipt was it. Very bizarre. The Federal Reserve has put out its press release just minutes ago. It's up at Infowars.com. Fed leaves rates bond program unchanged. Bernanke at Q&A went on to state that the Federal Reserve is signaling that its $600 billion Treasury bond buying program will end in June. So they're not going to continue QE2 into QE3, at least they say for now, as planned, because the economy has strengthened and companies are starting to hire more. Well, actually, you look at the numbers. Unemployment's going up. They've put out some fake numbers. We've seen a lot of jobs being lost. Housing prices still going down. The dollar plunging. Gas prices exploding. No one who's being honest says this economy is getting better, but they say everything is great. So we'll talk more in the next hour with a financial expert about what these announcements signal. But they are going to keep interest rates low. This with Europe raising their interest rates, that's triggering people to buy European Treasury notes and not U.S. Treasury notes. So who's going to buy them? And the Federal Reserve isn't going to be doing it. And we have their full press release up there as well. Also, later, I'm going to get into this huge article at Infowars.com by Paul Joseph Watson. On the heels of Wachovia and Wells Fargo admitting the laundering of $376 billion of narcotics money and leasing the narcotics aircraft. Top Mexican drug lord in Chicago court case says I traffic cocaine for the U.S. government. And he's bringing forward the documents that he was part of an approved cartel bringing narcotics into the United States. And that's what the drug war is. It's a war against those that don't pay their cut. And that's why they make drugs illegal, to jack up the prices so the big central banks make more money. And by the way, I can play Fox News saying it's good that our troops help grow opium in Afghanistan. That's a 13-fold increase from what it was in 2001, 93% of the world market. and that, and they cut to a Marine Corps colonel admitting they help grow the opium and help protect it, because if they don't, Al-Qaeda will get it. Give me a break, ladies and gentlemen. This is just so incredible. They keep it illegal, just like they made alcohol illegal so they could triple the price of it during Prohibition. And there was more alcoholism, and it corrupted the police. They know exactly what they're doing. So that big report there. But getting your take on Obama coming out with the birth certificate issue. Ron in Illinois, up in Obama land. Ron, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
That's good. Hey, before I get into that, I just want to say real quick, there's some information that I came into in case anybody's looking to kind of show some people what's going on out there. If you go to the Illinois Attorney General website and go into their history link, right on there it says that that their actual job is to prosecute all actions necessary for the protections and revenues of the Crown. I couldn't believe it when I read it, but if you haven't seen it, you need to go check it out. Into the Obama thing, I love what you do. All the information that's coming out, I think it's such an info warrior bomb. But the only thing that I wanted to say was, is can you tell me, can you speak to, I mean, if the Lieber Code went into place back when, and you talk about it, you know, the U.S. being, the United States being a corporation, hypothetically, I see it as literally a corporation. Is it not true then that he doesn't, I mean, he could hold, you know, the office at McDonald's or Walmart and still have all the qualifications in order to hold that position?
Well, look, at the end of the day, Obama is a teleprompter reading front man who will take all the political blame, and then they'll just put in a new guy when he's worn out, and it goes on and on. That's why the globalists are upset, is because for the first time in modern history, the actual banking cartels are being identified instead of just the puppets. And so that's why the system loves this birth certificate issue, and we've been forced to cover it over the years, reluctantly. I mean, I've been criticized for not covering it more and being somewhat ambivalent. I know he gave up his name and became Barry Sotero. He admits that, and that needs to be looked into. I know his records are very secretive. I know his whole family has foundation and intelligence agency connections, but even though that's juicy and interesting, at the end of the day, I'd rather talk about dollar devaluation. I'd rather talk about the TSA and the police state. I'd rather talk about all those issues. But yes, the District of Columbia operates under administrative law, which is the global government system. And yes, I've seen federal court cases where they argue admiralty, and they say we're under an emergency since 33 war powers. And so there is some truth to that. Then there's others that say it's a pure corporation registered in Delaware. That's not really true. You know, there's some rumors also kind of floating around, but there is some truth to it, and I appreciate your call. You've got the continuity of government, Pentagon, COG, administrative, dictatorial system running in parallel with the old republic. And now they're just tearing up the track of the old system so that we can't get back to it. But it's always there in our hearts and minds and through common law practice. And that gets all into law theory. But at the end of the day, it's all about having the moral high ground and taking action. So much of this is just lawless hubris. I mean, the TSA legally can't stick their hands down your pants. I've had Congress people on, constitutional lawyers, district attorneys, county attorneys from big, big cities like San Francisco saying this is illegal for them to stick their hand down your pants. A sworn officer can't do it. Unless there's an emergency and they saw you cram a gun down there. You can't do it. It's illegal to have uncalibrated radiation machines in there that there's no radiology test being done. That violates federal and state law. They just do it. So much, I mean, the Army running checkpoints all over the country. The Marine Corps doing it. It totally violates posse comitatus. They haven't gotten rid of the whole act. They've put a few loopholes in it. But they don't care. They're just doing it. Like 2 years ago when the governor of Tennessee said there's checkpoints with the Army searching cars on highways. No, you get out of here. You can't do that. And the Pentagon said, we're under Homeland Security. Take a hike. That was in the Tennessee papers. So, I mean, you can argue what Lincoln did was unconstitutional and illegal. He did it. He had soldiers that would follow orders. And it's the same thing here, folks. And if we don't speak out and point it out, and we go along with it, even under duress, that sets the common law precedent. Doesn't make it legitimate. You know, they can say, well, under the law, blacks are two-thirds human, and we can hook you up to a plowshare like a donkey. And it wasn't until blacks started fighting back and saying, I'm a human, that they got some of their liberties. I mean, liberty is not given to you folks. It's taken. You need to understand that. Frederick Douglass put it that way. In fact, pull me up the Frederick Douglass quote. I'll just give you a quote. Liberty is not given, it's taken. Okay? And the answer in 1984 is 1776. Let's go ahead and talk to John in Ohio. You're on the air, John.
Oh, hello, Alex. How are you doing today?
Good. Welcome.
Yes, I just wanted to say really quick that here in Vancouver, I there was a mistake, not Ohio, that the radiation is now 99 times over the legal limit. And about the birth certificate, I just wanted to say why he's making such a fuss about not showing it. I mean, could you imagine how easy it is to just fake one? I mean, I don't see why he's making such a big deal out about it, you know.
So you think they hyped it up this whole time to later make it a political diversion?
Exactly. I mean, do you know how easy it is? People on the streets can do it. They can fake it. It's very simple.
Or they've got people they pay off in the different state bureaus, the hospitals, and the Bureau of Vital Statistics. They can get a copy of a dead person who died young and then operate under their name.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you very much, and I hope you have a good time. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, John. Good points. Justin in Missouri, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was calling about the Trump thing and about the birth certificate thing.
Well, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's clearly, like the last caller just said, of course it's a sideshow. I mean, they want to get your eye off the ball. And Donald Trump, as far as he's concerned, he's a shill, of course. Because the liberty movement's on the move out there, and it's just clear that the establishment's flailing now. I mean, you know, it's all going to be a big show.
Well, notice that, you know, the media keeps saying, ooh, Trump's getting tough. He's got the leadership we need. He'll fight. Well, Trump is this Chucky Schumer supporter involved in all sort of inside sweetheart deals. He's a multi-state casino owner. And say what you want about casinos, folks. That's a dirty business. And he's slick, sure. I'm tired of slick talk. I'd rather have somebody who isn't the best speaker like Ron Paul, who stands on what they believe in as a constitutionalist. Donald Trump supports eminent domain, grabbing old ladies' houses. He's involved in all sorts of questionable penny stocks. I mean, Donald Trump is a big, seedy person, and he supported socialist health care. Now he's saying a lot of things that make sense, but it's a pitch. But Americans, some of them like to think that there's a magic secret bullet out there that's going to fix everything for them. And I'm sorry, folks, it isn't Donald Trump.
The Ron Paul thing, all the people out there, you know, all the ones who are he's too old or he can't win, well, they need to understand that it's the message, not the man. You know, and who thinks that Ron Paul wouldn't put a like-minded person to his right hand anyway?
Well, regardless, Ron Paul jogs, rides bikes every day, eats like a bird, and he's probably got the body of about a 68-year-old, not a 75-year-old. And, you know, he'd get in there and be out of office in one term, you know, when he was 80 or 84. And but again, Ron Paul isn't going to save us. He's one step towards that. We've got to take the states back through 10th Amendment nullification. Great points, Justin, Steve, Tim, Jamie, Tim, and others. Your calls straight ahead on the other side. Lord Christopher Monckton. Then we're going to get into the dollar situation with Porter Stansbury. Other news, U.S. broadens Mexico travel warning. That's right, American citizens being targeted for murder and kidnapping in Mexico. Our gallant little friend of the South, the failed state. Also, top Mexican drug lord, I traffic cocaine for the U.S. government. That comes out in federal court. That's up on Infowars.com. Big investigative report by Paul Joseph Watson. And now they just kind of hide it in plain view on Fox News. Yes, the U.S. military, Marines, and Army guard the poppy and give them fertilizer, and it's shipped out, but we're not going to discuss that. If we catch you with it, you're going to one of our private prisons owned by big banks that launder the money. Is that clear? Because we're anti-drug here in America. and Wachovia and Wells Fargo. You made $376 bill. You laundered it. You're leasing the aircraft for the drugs. You admit it. We're going to pay 0.3% fine of $100 million on the $376 bill. Oh, boy, that's good business if you can get it. I wonder if you get caught with some heroin or cocaine, if you're going to pay a fine that's 0.3 the value of it. No, you're going to probably get billy clubbed on the head. You're going to go to a prison. You're going to get gang raped. And then the taxpayer is going to pay for your HIV infection, which is even better for the globalists. It's all part of the land of the free, home of the brave. I'm supposed to be naive here when I pull up to an illegal police checkpoint and they go, got any alcohol or drugs in there? And I stick my head out three separate times and say, no, I don't use the products your boss is shipping. Ooh, they get mad. Get out of the car. I'm like, great, I'm not a drug dealer like you. And you know the government's bringing the drugs in, officer. Leave me alone. Don't destroy America and your children's future. All right, get back in your car. Get out of here. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care. I know you bring it in, and I'm done playing games with you. I'm through with it. I know you run the terrorist. I'm sick of it. It was all over the news yesterday. Well, yes, the top Al-Qaeda in Pakistan is MI6 running the attacks and killing people, but so what? And yeah, the head of Al-Qaeda meets secretly at the Pentagon, and the hijackers were trained at U.S. bases. I mean, on and on and on. I don't believe any of it. Obama might be from England. He might be from Canada. I don't care. He's a teleprompter reader. He looks nothing like his father. Of course it's all a big lie. I don't know what the lie is, but they've been covering it up and telling you that computer printout was his birth certificate for over 2 years, and now they've released one that doesn't even have the vital statistics on it, I was noticing, all of them. I don't know. And now his race is African. I never heard of that. I mean, that's something that came out in the 70s and 80s. Folks, something's going on here, and it's like designed to make us focus on it. So I'm being forced to cover it because everybody's obsessed with it. Remember 2 years ago I got criticized for not really talking about it? I had a few guests on. I'm getting tired of it, but we got to cover it because by covering it, we can show people the full spectrum of what's going on. Oh, I'm getting mad now. Who's up next here? Steven in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Alex. I want to give my take on this birth certificate issue, and then if you have time, I want to relate a conversation I had recently with a neighbor about this six-year-old girl in New Orleans, whose mother you just recently interviewed about this molestation by the TSA. But here's my take on this. You know, I was thinking about, you know, you've covered at length how Beck co-opted the Tea Party / Patriot movement basically to nullify it and, you know, put their own spin on it. And I think in the same respect, what's going on here is these people have taken, you know, people don't understand America. The media, as you brought out, is run by the Pentagon. You know, it's all about psyops and why you call your site InfoWars, and they don't understand how propaganda works and how they're masters at manipulating people's thinking to get them to react in a certain way. But I think this is where what they're doing is taking a legitimate issue of this guy's birth and co-opting it in order to make it, you know, in a sense, a non-issue by saying, well, we brought it out now, so, you know, we've neutralized this. But more importantly, as you brought out, to make it a diversionary tactic from the bigger issues, of which this is just like the tip of the iceberg.
And because Obama is wrong on wars, torture, the economy, the insider behavior, the government health care, the waivers for his buddies, because he is just on every front plunging, this can be a little fake win for him. And then it politicizes stuff. So now if you say Barack Obama hired the head of GE and then signed waivers for their power plants, they're like, oh, yeah, just like the birth certificate. Hey, the sky's blue. Oh, and next you're going to say Obama doesn't have a birth certificate. Now, what was your comment on the other issue?
Well, what I wanted to say is I talked to a neighbor of mine, and basically what he said when I was discussing the TSA molesting children, well, but if the parents have the kid loaded down with drugs, sure, why not?
Oh, exactly. I mean, and now they got TSA on the streets, and he'll let his wife and daughter have this done to him, and next is proctology exams. They're actually talking.
Darker shame, darling, darker shame. joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony was the place we'd meet. Second seat.
All right, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're here live a little bit into the next hour. Lord Christopher Monckton is going to be our guest on a host of issues, the economics, the latest green movement's move to seize control of the infrastructure, also the royal wedding. And we may be a little bit of a disagreement on that. I was asking him, you know, I know we're having him back on this week to continue our interview of last week because we ran out of time. But I said, what are some issues you want to raise? You said, well, the royal wedding. And his point is, sovereignty is under such attack that if it makes people hang out the British flag, you know, the UK flag, if it makes them think about sovereignty against the EU, modern bureaucratic royalty, it's a positive thing. So I do see that facet. My larger issue was the royals and Prince Charles and Philip and carbon tax promoting and one child policy promoting, everything that Lord Monckton is diametrically opposed to. Also, my issue with the royalist over in England, is obviously it was the House of, well, it was the Lords that brought the out of control monarchy to heel in 1215 with Magna Carta. And of course, many of the Lords in the House of Commons supported the 1776 move. It wasn't until King George III traveled, to Parliament and demanded they launch the war. So there's a very diverse view over in England. We'll try to decipher and break some of that down. But Lord Christopher Monckton is a hereditary peer of the crown. And, of course, he is also the third Viscount of Monckton and Brenchley, is a British politician, public speaker, former newspaper editor, hereditary peer, formerly member of the Conservative Party, former head of it. Now he's back in it, standing for Parliament in Scotland. Monckton has been the, leader of the party. He served in Conservative central office and was one of the top advisors on science and policy to Margaret Thatcher. And he's also written some of the biggest newspapers in England, the Sunday Telegraph, the Evening Standard newspapers. But before we get into all that, Lord Monckton, and the subtleties of what's happening over in England and the big royal wedding that everybody's so excited about, I think over here more than over there, before we go there, what's your view of this whole birth certificate issue and Obama coming out and breaking into television programming to say that here's my birth certificate? I thought they'd released it 2.5 years ago, and they said there was no long form. Now they're contradicting themselves. I've never been a birther, but I've been forced to, investigate it a bit, and I think it's ambiguous. What's your view?
I had a look at this a couple of years ago because somebody sent me what they said was a Kenyan birth certificate for Obama. And I looked at it, and superficially it all looked very plausible. Then I checked a few things out, and it was clear that somebody had just made it up. And so there's probably a lot of misdirection on all sides going on this. What I did find out was that Obama's lawyers have spent millions over the last few years shutting down inquiries into his past. You can't get, you couldn't until recently get his birth certificate. You couldn't get his school records, his college records. All of this was sealed. Now, in Britain, that would be unthinkable. We're not a democracy anymore, but we do still expect our public representatives to have all their career and all their documentation on file where we can have a look at it. The idea of sealing it so that ordinary people can't see his birth certificate, and that, of course, is what went on for a couple of years, is quite extraordinary. So, I'm not a birther either, but I can tell you quite a nice little story about this. I was speaking at a Tea Party rally in Washington last year, and I started out by saying, "Welcome to America, land of opportunity. You can be born in Kenya and end up as President of the United States." And they all laughed, politely enough. But the press went ballistic, and they came rushing up to me after my speech, and they said, "Oh, do you believe that Obama was born in Kenya?" I said, "Look, I haven't the faintest idea where Obama was born, but I am fascinated at how incurious you in the media are about his background, given how much of it's been sealed. But let me explain. That ha, ha, ha noise that you heard when I told what we on the right call a joke is what we on the right call laughter. May I introduce you to the concept? It's something you might like to do more of."
Well, I've been impressed by your deep knowledge, not just of common law or English law or our law that's a cousin of it or a growth of it, an outgrowth, but I know in Latin, but I can't remember the exact phrase. We know qui bono, who stands to gain, who benefits. But what's the Latin phrase or the English translation of it that the cover-up, the absconding, the suppression of evidence is generally the evidence of guilt?
Oh, golly, no. Yes, I can't now instantly recall that one. It's one of these Latin tags they used to use until Tony Blair came along and said that Latin was too old-fashioned and nobody was to use it in the courts anymore. So you would hear it in Scotland, where Latin is still quite frequently used in the courts, but not any longer in England. I can't remember the particular phrase you mean, but certainly it is very puzzling that Obama and his lawyers have been messing around with this in the way that they have. He could and should have come out with all the documentation much earlier on, instead of really dangling the idea in front of people that maybe he wasn't all that he said that he was. And that was unfortunate. It makes people uneasy to think the chief executive might not in fact be validly the chief executive because he was born somewhere else, and that every law that he signed might be invalid. I mean, there have been judges speculating on this, because so long has he taken to get round to just doing what in Britain would have been available anyway from Somerset House and providing his birth certificate.
And still 99...
puzzling.
Mm-hmm, exactly, and still 99.9% of his records are sealed, while other politicians aren't doing that. So why hide it if there isn't something there he doesn't want us to look at? And many believe, and we've seen this in his own admissions partially, that his name was Barry Sotero. He was adopted in Indonesia. He did go to school there. We have the school form where he says that he was a Muslim. And so I even had a guest on yesterday before this happened saying, I think he was born in, from the evidence, in the Hawaiian Islands, but there's something else there they're hiding. And clearly, why spend millions blocking all this if they're not hiding something?
Well, it is very unsatisfactory, very undemocratic, and very stupid of him if there's nothing to hide. If there is something to hide, then my guess is that because of all the messing around, eventually some of these lazy left-wing journalists will start digging, and when they do, they'll start finding things.
Well, remember we were told with the climate people that it was all peer-reviewed, 100%, no mistakes, and then every time you get the documents and burrow in, it's complete fraud, complete lies, or photos by a film student of the Himalayas is now total scientific proof with 2,000 scientists that they're going to totally melt. And it turns out it's all a bunch of smoke and mirrors, total hollow flim-flam. The point is they don't want us digging into anything they're doing, because 9 times out of 10, if we scratch the surface, we find out it's rotten beneath the surface.
That's right. The maggots are crawling out as we speak. Now, certainly on the climate thing, it's all over by the shouting now. I mean, nobody seriously believes we're going to get a 20-foot sea level rise that Al Gore was talking about after a century with hardly any. Nobody believes that we're going to get a massive temperature rise after 10 years with no temperature rise at all. All of it has been exaggerated. And the usual suspects are becoming hysterical. You now see on the Green website, where did we go wrong? Why does nobody believe us? Answer, because what they've been saying isn't true. And eventually, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. Fact is, they've blown it because they tried on the left to politicize the truth. The traffic light tendency, as I call them, the greens too yellow to admit they're really reds, they tried to take over the subject of science itself and politicize it in the way that Marxism has tried to politicize everything else it touches.
Well, that's how the controlled left, the staged left here in the U.S. does it. They create watchdog groups that claim they're completely unpartisan and the absolute arbiters of fact, as if they are Christ at the Sermon on the Mount or Moses at Mount Sinai, you know, the lawgiver. And then when you get their corporate documents and internal documents like Media Matters a few months ago, Politico did, it's a wholly owned subsidiary of George Soros stating, we are here to destroy the alternative media, to infiltrate groups, cognitive dissidents, Cass Sunstein, at the White House saying we're here to destroy freedom, we're here to shut down free press. They actually, I mean, these are seething authoritarians, and now you have all the major green leaders in Europe and the U.S. coming out saying green fascism, their term, is sexy. We're going to bring tyranny. If you don't like it, we'll enforce it at the barrel of a gun. The truth is they are manifest frauds, and they love to pose as if they are God.
Well, the great thing now is that they've made the huge mistake of trying to politicize science. And the reason why that's a mistake is that science, in the end, is there to establish, objectively speaking, what is true and distinguish it from what is not true. And what they have been trying to say is that their particular weird point of view was the scientific truth, when science, increasingly openly, is finding the courage to say it isn't. And this, Alex, this could be the end of the political left. I think they really have blown it on this one. It's becoming visible to everyone that this global warming thing is nonsense. I was at the University of St. Andrews last week speaking on behalf of the United Kingdom Independence Party there, and I mentioned that all of Scotland's windmills, if they went on for 20 years as they are now, will forestall 0.00002 Celsius of global warming. That is all. So all these measures they have, they're not cost-effective. It doesn't matter what, even if they were right about this, it isn't cost-effective to do anything about
it. Sure, reality encroaches on their fantasy. Sorry.
That is what's happening. While I'm on this point of the United Kingdom Independence Party, I'm very grateful, Alex, that you're letting me do these broadcasts in these few weeks, because here I am in Edinburgh, and I came here and hired an apartment here so that I would have access to all the news media and the studios. I am, after all, the leader of the United Kingdom Independence Party in Scotland, the only party that opposes Alex Salmond's programme. He's the current First Minister of Scotland, of covering the whole of the Highlands in windmills, because he thinks this is going to save the planet, and of course, clearly it isn't, and it's just to bankrupt us. But can I get any of the news media to let me anywhere near a microphone or a television camera? Absolutely not. They are giving coverage to parties far smaller, with far fewer votes than UKIP, but they will not give us any coverage, because we are the party that speak for the people. We are the party that speak for freedom against the establishment and the political class. And the media increasingly see themselves as part of the political class, and that their duty is not any longer to question the politicians in charge, but to keep them there and to make sure that nobody from any of the smaller parties, and we are now the second largest party in Britain, but that counts as a small party as far as they're concerned, should be allowed anywhere near a microphone. The only way I can speak to the people of Scotland and be heard at the moment, Alex, is through your program.
Unbelievable. We have a lot of listeners on the shortwave, on satellite, and the internet in Scotland, and it's more important than ever that they spread the word and let people know that this is suppressed information, that they send people the videos and audio of the interviews you've done here via YouTube out to everyone. And it will spread virally when you let people know this is being suppressed. That's like advertising a football game, and then when the other team shows up to get on the field, you don't let them on the field, and then your referees declare you the winner. But it's because they are losing so much credibility that they're desperate to not give you equal or fair time or any time. And that takes us back to the fact that regardless of where Obama was really born, 62% of Americans don't think he was born here, because they don't believe anything he says. And as the system has this credibility implosion, they're going to get more and more authoritarian. Now, you wanted to talk some, before we get into some other issues, about the royal wedding. And you were telling me off air, it's a positive thing, because nationalism is anathema to the one world government movement. And so clearly, if this is a way to bring the people of the UK together, it can be seen as positive. What's your view overall on the royal wedding?
Well, Well, that is exactly the point. The United Kingdom Independence Party is the one party in Scotland that unashamedly believes in keeping the monarchy, keeping the non-political head of state separate from the political heads of government. That way, we have some national identity. We have a national focus, which we badly need now that 5/6 of our laws are made for us, whether we like it or not, by the unelected commissars. That's the official German name for them, very revealing name, the communist commissars of the European Union. They now make, behind closed doors, 5/6 of Scotland's laws, of England's laws, and of all the other 27 countries in the dismal empire of Brussels. This is sort of tyranny by Clark. And we are the one party that says we believe in the monarchy. To us, a royal wedding is an expression of our national identity, and it's a day of celebration and fun and of being proud that we are an independent and democratic nation and who, by our will, have kept the monarchy there. After all, if we didn't want the monarchy, we could have voted it out of existence long ago. But we haven't done that. We have voted to keep it because we now need it as a defense against the increasing encroachments of alien powers and alien concepts, all of which are anti-democratic, even in our own news media, which is why I'm so delighted to be able to speak to my friends all over Scotland through you. Just to give you an example of the sort of things that's been happening, I had a press officer on the case for 2 weeks, ringing every day, every TV studio, every radio, every newspaper, saying, here we are, here's our message for today. And one of them, one of the biggest TV companies in Britain, STV, their political correspondent eventually came on the line. He said, look, we have mentioned the United Kingdom Independence Party once before the campaign began. We are not going to mention it at all for the rest of the campaign, whatever happens. That's how entirely unfair it is. And so that's why I'm so grateful that I can now say to the people of Scotland, we are the one party that says no to all these windmills. No more new windmills.
What about organizing protest out front some of the bigger stations and have UK Independence Party people out there to point out to everybody this is happening?
Well, on Sunday, for instance, they have the leaders' debate, where the leaders of the major parties in this election will be in a television studio being watched by the whole people of Scotland, run by the BBC. The one political leader who will not be there, unless I can gatecrash it, is me.
All right, we'll be right back, Lord Monckton. Stay there. Lord Christopher Monckton is our guest a little bit into the next hour. Then we'll continue with your phone calls and get into dollar policy from the private Federal Reserve that the head of the Federal Reserve in Kansas City and Dallas is saying will cause hyperinflation. Walmart head saying that. McDonald's is saying that. And I even heard Huckabee on the radio this morning, Governor Huckabee, saying that this is basically by design to bankrupt us by the banking class. So amazing information. Lord Monckton, I want to get more into some of the geopolitical things that are happening and the exciting news, because I mean, I know you really say what you think, that the communist collectivists posing as environmentalists are bleeding out and maybe mortally wounded. How do we ensure that that happens politically and that there be a new renaissance and a reawakening of liberty? But getting back to the monarchy, look, I understand that having the royal family and having the House of Lords and all that's part of England. I understand it was the Lords that, as I said earlier, brought in the Magna Carta, what is the precursor to our Constitution, Bill of Rights. I understand large sections of the gentry and the commoners and the elite in England actually supported the move in 1776, but that the King George III overrode it with his speech to Parliament. So I understand it's a very diverse issue, and I see your point about sovereignty. I wouldn't have such a big problem with the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, known as the Windsors, if all the leadership I see supporting eugenics, one-child policies, global carbon taxes, constantly running around pushing for, you know, that I shouldn't be able to take a shower, but Prince Charles can have these trains and helicopters and jets. I mean, bottom line, I understand UK Independence Party has great policies on every issue, and I understand you see it as a sovereignty issue to support the monarchy because it's one of the few vestiges that could be seen as English that's left, and versus the new monarchy of the unelected, pointy-headed Herman Von Rompuy, and Schwarzenegger now wants to come over and be the head of it. I get it. I understand it. But you know, as a lord, as a hereditary lord who does stand up for liberty, I mean, I know you know the top folks at the House of Windsor. Do you ever talk to them about their socialistic activity?
Well, yes. I mean, I did have a quiet word with Prince Charles the other day at his birthday party and said, look, you know, this climate thing, you can go on talking about deforestation by all means. That's something where, you know, your voice needs to be heard. But get off the climate, I said. First of all, it's a political football. You shouldn't be intervening in politics. You're supposed to be above politics. But secondly, for heaven's sake, the science is collapsing. And he looked very upset. He doesn't like to be told that this new religion that he's adopted is hollow underneath and there's no truth in it. He gets very upset because he is surrounded by people from, you know, what we would call the usual suspects, the Marxist left, who are doing their best to capture the monarchy as they're trying to capture everything else in life, as they've tried to capture science. But the reason why I think that, despite all that, we've got to back the monarchy is that when Prince Charles eventually becomes king, he will have to be silent about this nonsense, or he will have to go. Because increasingly, it is realized that the monarchy only remains the monarchy by the will of the people. And if Prince Charles continues to take sides on political issues, then he will lose support for the institution of the monarchy very, very quickly. And his advisors, I know this, are already telling him that. And he is trying to balance what they're saying in one ear with what the Marxists are saying to him through the other ear about how if we really want to destroy capitalism and introduce the new communist world order, we have to go on plugging away at the climate because it's our best hope of bringing this about. That's their message.
Lord Monckton, this is amazing. Back in 1 minute. Sorry to interrupt you. Tell us more. But you're right. In the news, because of his politics, they're already talking about passing him over.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, we need to get Lord Christopher Monckton back on because he is a hereditary peer to the crown, Lord Monckton of Rensley Viscount. And he has such a wide breadth of knowledge because to understand what's happening in the world, to know history is to know the future. But he was really dishing some amazing insider info about Prince Charles, the Prince of Wales, and his father, the consort to Elizabeth II, the Queen of England, the Duke of Edinburgh, about his differences of opinion with his son, Prince Charles. Please continue, Lord Monckton. This is intriguing stuff.
Yeah, let me give you an indication of how I know that they both have different views. Of course, Prince Charles's views are very well known. He has spoken out rather too often on a subject where, strictly speaking, as the heir to the throne, he should remain silent because it's a political subject. And gradually, his courtiers, I think, are beginning to win and quieten him down on this. He speaks out on it less often, at least in public, than he used to. But interestingly, 2 years ago, the palace arranged for Professor Ian Plimer, who is the Professor of Mining Geology at the University of Adelaide, formerly of Melbourne, a very distinguished geologist, who doesn't believe a word of this climate rubbish and has written a best-selling, 100,000-selling book called Heaven and Earth about the climate. The Duke of Edinburgh invited him to give the annual Duke of Edinburgh lecture at Buckingham Palace to a distinguished invited audience in front of the Duke. And this is an enormous honour. You know, one person a year gives this lecture. Ian was approached, said yes, made the bookings, got the plane tickets, said to his wife, we're off to London for a few weeks in May. And then, suddenly, for no reason, he was uninvited. Never happened before. And he got a rather strange letter from somebody associated with the organisation of the lecture saying, well, terribly sorry, but I'm afraid it's now not going to be possible for you to come and give the Duke of Edinburgh lecture. And what we think must have happened is that Prince Charles, who is fanatical on this global warming subject, probably leant on his dad and said, look, don't you dare have this person anywhere near the palace. The word will get out and everybody will think that we're no longer true believers in the new religion. So I suspect that that's what happened. But anyway, without any explanation, Ian Plimer was told, no, you can't come. And it's never happened before, and it's very, very unlike the palace ever to issue an invitation and then unissue it again. The only other case I can think of where they did this is that there's quite a nasty racialistic party here called the Brutish National Party, which stands for everyone who's black being sent back where they came from and treated very badly and second-class citizens. They're nasty people. And their leader was invited to one of the garden parties that are held. Thousands of people go every year in the summer at Buckingham Palace. And this caused such a stir that eventually that invitation too was withdrawn. But it's very rare for that to happen. The palace normally is very careful not to invite somebody unless it means that person to come. And so here was this obviously a row between the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Charles, about the climate. Duke of Edinburgh wanting simply to hear the other side of the case, and even that was so offensive to Prince Charles that it was stopped. And this is very unsatisfactory because, of course, it is necessary, particularly for the future King of England, to make sure that he keeps his mind open to both sides of the question, particularly on this climate thing. Because the debate is beginning to shift now away from the science, because now basically everybody realizes that the rate at which the planet is warming is simply not matching the predictions. I mean, it hasn't warmed at all.
All right, Lord Monckton, final segment. Yeah. We've got a break. Come back and finish up with that. And then, was that private what you told me, or can you talk about the difference in views between the Duke of Edinburgh and the, well, his son? We'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You know why the sun never set on the British Empire, don't you, listeners? Because God wouldn't trust an Englishman in the dark. And, of course, scratch an Englishman, find a pirate, they say. But you scratch anybody, you're going to find a pirate. That's the truth about civilization. There are great heights and also great lows. We must bound down the tyrannical instincts that are out there in humankind with law, with a republic. Instead, we have the new global order of select bureaucratic interest and their financiers, and they are rolling out a classical tyranny dressed up and perfumed like a pig with sweet statements about liberty and freedom. But when you study the UN, when you study the EU, it is classical tyranny. When you study the World Treaty, Lord Monckton, you said last week when we were talking on air, and that you were talking to one of the big national writers with the National Post, one of the big national papers in Canada, and they were saying, how dare you say there's a world government in this treaty? And you said, haven't you read it? And he came back later and said, it's 10 times worse than you say. I mean, if people will only go look at the evidence, they will see what we're facing here.
Well, that is exactly right. There's no doubt. If you read these documents, which, and they're written deliberately, very obscurely, at great length, with long words, the UN's a past master at this. They call it transparent impenetrability. All the documents are available, but you wouldn't understand them, even if you could keep yourself awake to read them. They're very dull, but it's in the dullness that all this nasty detail is hidden. And yes, just like the EU, which has now succeeded in establishing effectively a dictatorial tyranny throughout Europe, so much so, as I've said, they're now arresting people at 3 a.m. and taking them over and putting them in Hungarian jails and torturing them there by feeding them pork fat 3 times a day, which has gone rancid, without even charging them with a crime. That's the kind of thing that now happens in the European Union. And, you know, just the other day I was speaking, as you know, at a hustings here, and I said, Britain is now, in fact, a police state in the formal sense. You can be arrested and locked up without trial. How many of you, I said, think that's an overstatement? And about half the hands went up. So then I told them the story of Jason McGoldrick, who did have his door kicked in by our version of the KGB, acting on behalf of the European commissars. And this guy was hauled off without having done anything wrong, without being charged with anything, and spent 4 months in a Hungarian prison, still hasn't been charged 18 months later, still wondering whether he's going to be, because they're still pretending to investigate his case. This kind of outrage, where without going in front of any proper court hearing, without any evidence being produced, you can be arbitrarily arrested and detained at will for as long as a foreign power wants. That is something new in Britain. Previously, if you were a British subject and you produced a British passport, then any foreign power was very careful before it arrested you to make sure that it went through the due process, notified your embassy, gave you a proper charge sheet, told you what you were charged with. Not anymore. Now, Britain has given away the protection of its own citizens so that alien foreign powers who don't believe in democracy, don't believe in habeas corpus, don't believe in the right of an individual not to be locked up without trial, a right guaranteed since Magna Carta, they don't believe any of that. Our governments have handed away our protection.
And when you were done breaking that down, it went from 60% agreeing with you to all of them, which shows the proof is in the evidence. And if people will just look at it, they will discover what's happening. We did cover that in great detail last Thursday. Lord Monckton, now looking at where we stand today, finishing up with the whole royal issue that I want to get into, things moving from the science to the economics of what the climate change pushers are now trying to put out there. They've gone from global warming to climate change. Now, any climate change is evidence that we've got to pay them carbon indulgences, basically, so that Al Gore can build his own palaces. But going back, what is the view? Because I've studied the history, a spectrum of history books. What is the view 235 years ago versus today of what happened in the colonies, or what Winston Churchill called our American cousins, from your perspective? Because you always speak fondly of the 1776 ideals versus the out-of-control behavior of King George III.
Well, you see, it's not just the out-of-control behavior of King George III. We now have, thanks to the EU, this model for what the UN is trying to turn into a world dictatorship. And the one bastion of freedom, which was built by the founding fathers of your United States of America, is your Constitution. Those opening words where it gets straight to the point and says all legislative power herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives, period. So the all power is in the hands of people that you now elect to exercise that power. Nobody can make laws for you unless you elected them to do it. That's democracy. And while that idea continues to exist in your continuing constitution, while you in America continue to live by that idea, then there is hope for us who now live under a stifling bureaucratic tyranny of clerks, that one day we shall again be free as you are free. So do not let your freedom go. We need you to keep it so that we can get our freedom back.
But going back to the time, reading the debates in Parliament and the leading statesmen, they were supportive and said, look, what our fellow Englishmen in the colonies are saying is what is in our Magna Carta and in the Parliament Act. We've got to basically support them, and that it was that same bureaucratic tyranny of the unelected imperial governors treating the colonies like they were a complete vassal state that triggered that. And what we see today is a rerun of that by the EU.
I think that's that's a very nice parallel. And certainly if you read the wonderful speeches of, say, Edmund Burke in Parliament, both before and after the American Revolution, beforehand he gave warning after warning after warning that if we didn't behave in a sensible way towards our colonies, they would break free. And these warnings were not heeded by the establishment of the day, because just like the establishment of today, the establishment then did not care for the freedom of the people. And that's the big problem. That's why I'm having to broadcast via your kind offices into my own country of Scotland, because none of the news media here will allow the one party that speaks for freedom in this country to get on the air. It will not allow us.
Well, you're winning elections in England. You're winning them in the EU Parliament. You're winning them all over. They're scared of you. And that brings me to my final question. People can find out more at the UK Independence Party's website, ukip.org, or Lord Monckton's excellent site, scienceandpublicpolicy.org, a great compendium of research on the fraud of the carbon taxing mafia, scienceandpublicpolicy.org, links to it on Infowars.com. In the 3 or 4 minutes we've got left, Lord Monckton, putting end caps on this, I was saying, what's their latest stratagem to seize control of all human activity and only allow their cronies that are given letter of mark the right to even operate in commerce? And you said, well, more and more as they lose credibility, now things are moving from the science to the economics. So what is the latest on the front lines dealing with this criminal mafia?
Right. What is now happening is that economists the world over, from President Václav Klaus of the Czech Republic to Bjorn Lomborg, to me in the United Kingdom, to Nigel Lawson, the former finance minister of Britain, who also is very skeptical of all this, all of us are now increasingly working together to try to demonstrate just how cost ineffective, in economic terms, it would be to spend money trying not to emit carbon dioxide. All that does is you destroy your economy. It's a massive transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich. Landowners in Scotland are making a fortune out of these windmills. UKIP is the only party that would ban them. But the point is, now we have at last managed to narrow down on the key equations which say that if you spend money on trying to make global warming away by taxing or controlling carbon dioxide, that will be the least cost-effective use of taxpayers' money in human history. And when you think of some of the waste of taxpayers' money we've seen, that's quite a statement. But we're coming pretty close to being able to prove that. And once we do, and we get that in the scientific literature, it's on its way already, then that will be the end of this nonsense, because nobody but nobody will go on throwing dollar bills straight down the bog when there's not the slightest chance of that spending doing anything to change the climate whatsoever. And so this new economic thrust, which is happening all over the world now, has really got the other side worried. In Australia, just a couple of weeks ago, Professor Tim Flannery, who is one of the bedwetters, the arch bedwetters of Australia, he's being paid $180,000 a day to work 3 half-days a week, promoting the idea that global warming is terrible. He was interviewed by Andrew Bolt of the Australian Herald Sun, who's a very clever man and who had got in touch with me and said, look, can you just do the sums for me on how much global warming would go away if Australia were to cut her carbon emissions by 10% in 10 years as the government and Flannery want? Because I'm going to ask Flannery about it. So I said, yes, it's 1/20,000th of a Celsius degree of warming would go away in 10 years if you spent all these trillions in Australia. And he said, is it really as little as that? I said, yes, and I did the sum for him. So he asked Flannery to do the sum for him, and Flannery flanneled. He couldn't do the sum. He wouldn't admit how little global warming would be forestalled. And eventually, Andrew Bolt cornered him, and he said, right, come on. The fact is, nothing we do now is going to make any difference, is it? And Flannery cracked. He said, well, no, it isn't, actually, because whatever we do, the temperature will not drop for 1,000 years.
All right, Lord Monckton.
From an official source, is an admission of what we've been saying for years.
Wow.
It's all over by the shouting now. Even the people who are paid to propagandize are collapsing.
Amazing.
And
sir, we're out of time, but I look forward to having you back in the near future, especially because you're under a news blackout there in Scotland. Telegraph, one of the biggest papers in England, has blasted me and basically said that I believe in blood-drinking reptoid lizards, which I don't, and never get into, because I don't like the monarchy. And to be clear, it's a diverse group. Some of them hereditary, some of them rewarded with lordships, you know, the whole nine yards, whatever. And I might have a different view of the monarchy if it wasn't constantly, you know, calling for us to cut our standard of living and living off British taxpayers and then living lavish lifestyles. I don't like it. And they go on to make fun of me and attack us here for the video I put out that's gone completely, totally viral. And it just went up on Infowars.com, the link to it if you want to find it, the Royal Wedding and the New World Order. And I won't have time to go through this entire article, but they really come after me in this story. It's a pretty well-written little hit piece, too, churned out by Tim Stanley. Maybe we'll get Tim Stanley on, but I'm going to have Steve Watson, who has a degree in political science, but also studied the Royals. I think that was his sub-study. I'm going to get Steve Watson or Paul Watson. They're over in England to write a rebuff to this because it's certainly getting attention over there, which was my plan. Side issue, we've got huge dollar devaluation accelerating. The media has gone from denying that dollar devaluation was happening to admitting it and admitting that's the main driver between the commodities going up. That's why people are paying over $4 a gallon now. And I was tuning through the dial today, Fox TV, listening on XM, CNN, local radio, national. In between the birth certificate stuff and Obama's speech, which shows how weak he is having to respond to it, all they were talking about was, yeah, oil is going to go to $7 a gallon for refined gasoline by next year. So it just turns out, plus I even know the source, Lindsey Williams, some people may not like his delivery. He's not making any of it up. I know the sources. One of them we've revealed. The other is the former Big Three CEO. And it's all true. Okay, and the proof's in the pudding. Ted Anderson's been holding for 15 minutes. I took Monckton over. I demanded Ted come on because I wanted him to mention a few of the gold and silver items in the news today. Gold and silver both up, even though the banksters have a short position on it and have been trying to drive it down. They're failing, Ted. What do these new Federal Reserve announcements mean? Where is gold and silver right now? And what's today's special offer for radio listeners only?
Well, here's what it is. I mean, first of all, Ben Bernanke gave a speech this morning saying that on June 30th, the Federal Reserve System will stop buying U.S. government securities. And that is the biggest bunch of hogwash that I ever heard, because what's going to happen then? They own almost three quarters of all the securities out there, and they're going to stop buying
Because he's not going to raise interest rates, and if you don't raise interest rates, nobody's going to buy them.
Well, that's right, and the telltale sign is, what is gold doing and how is it reacting to it? Gold is hitting a high today that it's never seen before, $1,524.90 an ounce. It's up $12.60. Silver's back up to $47.18, and the raging bull market lost its wind yesterday and didn't take very long for it to get the wind back in the sails again.
Yeah, I've told listeners, I keep expecting a pullback for a while before it starts the march. That's not happening. That's pretty scary, Ted.
It is scary, but it's the truth being told as to what's really going on economically. You know, Bernanke doesn't have a choice anymore. If he stops buying the U.S. government bonds, the interest rates are going to skyrocket. The United States can't afford the
interest. Yeah, they're going to continue QE2. They're just going to do it quietly. You're right, and even Bloomberg was admitting that, so we're seeing new levels of lying. We're almost out of time, Ted, but we have an expert coming on to break more of this down, but you're an expert, 30-plus years studying it. You've certainly called the shots very accurately, uncannily. Give folks these super special deals. Again, you keep buying the gold and silver a month before, it keeps going up. You keep selling out of the gold and silver, it keeps going up, but you still got stuff you bought almost a month ago. And tell folks today's offer, they better take advantage of it.
Well, right now, Alex, the DVDs and silver dollars, they're still $125. I did the math. If people buy just the silver dollars alone, right now it's $144.72, not delivered yet. And then if you add in the fact that you have your videos on top of that.
That's $60, then $10 free shipping and handling. We're talking now $80+ off, basically, Ted.
That's exactly right.
All right, so well, here's the number. 800-686-2237. When you call, they got a bunch of other silver and gold that's the radio special. Their other stuff's priced very competitively. This is ridiculously good. 800-686-2237. Ted isn't raising prices and taking the big profit. He's giving you the insane discount. 800-686-2237. He bet his money a month ago to be able to give you this deal. 800-686-2237. Gentlemen, to Midas Resources, 800-686-2237. You heard Ted. He can't hold those deals very long. 800-686-2237. With us a little bit in the next hour is Porter Stansberry, the managing director, the head of Stansberry Research. These folks have more subscribers than the New York Times, and you've seen their ads on TV, you've heard the ads on the radio, you've heard my voice. They've been saying now for really a year that there was going to be a dollar default. About 4 months ago, they started saying that they believed it would happen by the end of this year or early next year. And a lot of people said, man, that's a bold prediction. Well, now all you hear about is default or technical default with the Federal Reserve monetizing over 70% of the debt. You have the Federal Reserve announcements today that they will end QE2, but how are they going to do that if nobody else is going to buy it, if they're not raising interest rates? He really stuck his neck out there in the view of some. For me, it was common sense by coming out with the end of America information. But they're also moving in a direction of restoring the republic and also people protecting themselves. And Porter Stansberry joins us, endofamericavideo.com. Endofamericavideo.com is where you can go and watch the full hour presentation that's now been out, I don't know, 4 or 5 months or even longer, that is laying out everything that's now transpiring. So when Porter talks, we need to listen. Barron's called his work a dire prophecy with his accuracy, calling so many companies that went under long before anybody else was predicting it. And he's made the point here on this show previously, that was all child's play compared to the predictions that he's now making. And going back to the fall of last year when he started really sounding the alarm and calling it, it's now happening. IMF bombshell, Age of America nears in, Market Watch, the new Federal Reserve press release out. We've got gold surging, silver surging. They're talking about $7 a gallon gas by next year. They're openly talking about defaults. Geithner's threatening people last week and this week saying, give us more taxes, give us more money, or there'll be a default. But S&P said we have a bad outlook for the U.S. keeping AAA rating because of the spending. So it's just incredible. Porter Stansberry, endofamericavideo.com. Thank you for joining us. There's so much to talk about, but you have certainly been on target so far. Is there any way that your prediction can't come true? Because I want you to be wrong.
Yeah, Alex, thanks for having me back. You know, one of the first things I said to you when we met 4 months ago on the phone, when you first had me on the show, was the question in my mind isn't when this will happen. The question in my mind is when will you realize it is happening? And I asked you, I went through the litany of things. You know, how high is gas going to have to go? How high will silver have to go? How many banks are going to have to fail? You know, how many the Moody's downgrades are we going to have to see before it'll finally occur to you that, man, we can't repay these debts, and there are serious consequences to that fact. So, you know, I think that that was 4 or 5 months ago. That was before the riots in Wisconsin. That was before the drama in the Middle East that's been caused by the inflation that we're producing. So many of the things we have seen in just 4 months come straight out of my report, as you know, because you've seen it. But I think today, for the first time ever, when folks view my work, they're not saying, oh, this could never happen. Now they're saying, man, this is happening right now. What should I do? And the answers, of course, are, you know, in the research that we produce and sell to our subscribers. Starting with, you cannot believe anything the government tells you about the state of our financial affairs. They are in complete denial. Neither a Republican nor Democrat has put forth a balanced budget ever in the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Paul Ryan's program only rearranges deck chairs, more of them than Obama's program. $38 billion in cuts, what they've agreed to, $5 trillion over a decade. I mean, if you don't get rid of the fractional reserve banking system, if we don't write off the derivatives, everything else is window dressing, is it not?
It's all that's the point. That's the main point I'm making, and that sooner or later our creditors are going to get fed up with this. We don't know. The fact is, we don't know whether our creditors are fed up with it or not already. There are plenty of indications that they are. But as long as the Fed is printing all the money necessary to buy all the new bonds, we haven't seen the market impact of this. All that stops with the end of QE2, and that will be the gigantic litmus test. And I can tell you already exactly what will happen, okay? Interest rates are going to spike. The stock market is going to fall, unemployment is going to rise, silver and gold are going to continue to go up, and the Fed will have to announce QE3 because there is no other way to finance our debts. And believe me, if you think silver has gone up a lot, wait until QE3 is announced. Silver will absolutely soar. It will at least double from its current price today. And, you know, I told you 4 months ago, I said, hey, Alex, how much silver do you own? And you said, well, you know, blah, 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 who buys silver? Well, you know, it's gone up 50% since then. It's going to go higher because the fact is we can't repay our debts in anything but newly printed
money. No, you've been calling silver for years. And I had Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of the Treasury, on a few days ago, and he said when they get rid of QE2, it may create such a depression in the economy that for a short term it may make gold and silver go down, but then the inflation will only pick up again and then it'll go back up. But many of the other economists I talked to are saying what you're saying, that basically it's going to be unabated. Do you disagree with what he was saying?
I will tell you this. If you look at what happened after the end of QE1, gold did not fall. All the other commodities did. And you're going to see exactly the same thing this time. Gold and silver's rise may slow, but it will not decline. And the reason why is because if you want to know the real credit rating of the United States, not pay no attention to Moody's and S&P. They're liars, and everyone should know that by now. If you want to know the real credit rating of the United States, pull up a chart of the bond market versus precious metals. And you'll see that gap between the value of our government's bonds and the value of precious metals continues to get wider every month, month in and month out, since the bailouts of 2008. And why is that happening? Because the real credit rating of the United States is being expressed in the soaring price of gold and the falling price of our bonds. And they're propping up the bond market, but they cannot control the price of gold and silver.
Now, Porter, I want to continue breaking down what's currently happening, how you see this unfolding, how long after June and the QE2 ending. A lot of experts we talk to think they're going to quietly continue some QE2, just not at the same level, but that will still have the same inflationary effect. But every time I've had you on, you really don't even promote the newsletters. You have a wide body of specific analysis, general analysis, your overall newsletter. Tell the listeners, if they visit endofamericavideo.com, how they can go there and then check out the different subscriptions that are offered, because this is valuable information. I've researched your info, and I have found none better, and I found no one who's bold enough to have the courage that you've had.
Thank you very much, Alex. I definitely speak my mind, and you know, I'm bound to be wrong from time to time, but at least my subscribers can always count on me to tell them what I believe and why I believe it. And I tell you what, you know how rare that is in today's environment where everybody has an agenda. You know, not me. I only get paid by my subscribers, and I offer a money back guarantee on all my products. So if you're ever not happy, no problem. We'll just send you your money back. But the best thing to do is please go watch the video. Alex is giving you the website address. Check out my newsletter, which is called Stansberry's Investment Advisory. If I can make you some money, great. Renew your newsletter. If not, I'll send you your money back. No questions asked. That's how I do business.
And it's important to know and to be able to understand what's happening. Now, discuss this announcement by Bernanke today in their press release. It's up on Infowars.com, but what does that really signify? What will that monetarily mean? And then we see the Financial Times of London headline 2 days ago, Chinese signal they may cut their purchases that they've already cut the last 2 years. They've already trimmed. They may butcher it by two-thirds. That right there, technically, in my research, would signal the point of no return for the greenback.
Well, you know, the key thing, as I have explained to you many times, and as in my online my online production that I want people to go look at, the key for Americans is whether or not the U.S. dollar can remain what's called the world's reserve currency. And that's a fancy word, but all it means is, will banks around the world continue to stockpile dollars so that trade between countries can be netted out? So if you're Brazil and you want to buy some German cars, are you going to pay in euros or are you going to pay in dollars? And today, people pay in dollars. And that creates a huge need for dollars around the world. And that's why China ends up with dollars, because China has trade surpluses. So now, for the first time ever, many countries led by China are negotiating bilateral trade agreements where they are agreeing to accept other foreign currencies like Russia and China. Now when they trade, they do not use dollars. And those kinds of agreements are going to grow in scope. I also believe, and this is speculation, but it's what I believe, Alex, I believe very shortly you will see the Chinese announce that they're going to begin backing their currency, the yuan, in some combination of gold and silver. And overnight, that will make it the most attractive currency in the world to do business with.
Well, that's what the news is saying.
Profound implications for Americans.
Well, the news is now, again, just a month ago, none of this was in the news. Now, suddenly, I listen to Bloomberg. It sounds like Porter Stansberry. Now I listen to CNN. It sounds like Porter Stansberry. So when you say don't believe the government's numbers, we know those are cooked. But the mainline media has lost so much credibility that I surf through the channels on XM today of TV stations. And every show was talking, every financial show saying, well, you think $4 a gallon's a lot. Try $7 by the end of next year. And they were admitting, not because of OPEC, not because of speculators, but because of dollar devaluation, what's going to happen to a faltering economy that can't handle $4 a gallon when the dollar gets devalued more and more? And as it gets unpegged from oil, how high do you think it will go and how devastating will this be?
You know, there's no telling how high it could go. There really is no telling what we might lose if suddenly there is a dollar crash. And let me tell you why this is so scary, Alex. And I've been saying this for months and months and months, and I'm not trying to scare people. I just want you to know what the reality is, what the risks are. By printing money to repay our debts, we are kicking our creditors in the shins, and they are tired of it. So they are looking for an alternative, and that's why central banks are buying gold again from around the world. But the big risk is there are so many dollars that have been stockpiled overseas that if the world moves away from trading in dollars, all those dollars are going to be cashed in, and they're going to be cashed in the form of a collapse in our bond market and a collapse in the purchasing power of our dollar. Because if everybody moves to sell the dollar, the value of the dollar is going to collapse. And we are very, very close to that point.
Porter, I heard Mike Huckabee today on his little Paul Harvey-type blurblet he does, and I normally don't agree with some of what he has to say, but he came out and said, why is Geithner telling us that we have a strong dollar and a strong dollar policy when the dollar is weakening to all-time historic lows in modern history, and when the policies are what are weakening the dollar, a monetization of debt? Then he went on to explain it in kind of Little League fashion for his listeners. But he was actually telling the truth. I guess a lot of the middle class elite are figuring out, and upper middle class, that this is going to hurt everybody. You know, so many people went along with globalism and the central bank. Now they're figuring out just how devastating these policies are going to be. And then he went on and said the evidence shows they want to wreck the dollar. They want to damage it. They want to get rid of it. And I know you focus on what's going to happen. How do you protect yourself? Because you don't, you know, believe overall in the wisdom of the general public from what you've seen. And so you're just saying, folks, protect yourselves individually. And I think on one front we should do that, but also continue to try to fight these people on the other. And I know that's your view as well. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you can correct me. But clearly, they know what they're doing. Clearly, this is the policy. And Soros and others are saying they want to force us onto this new global basket that's partially gold and silver backed, which they are flush in to basically use the crisis they've created to consolidate wealth and control. What's your view on that overall statement?
Well, I certainly wouldn't disagree with you that it is in the best interest of some people for the dollar to lose value. And I think that to the extent that they encourage these policies, that's absolutely the truth. But I see it more as simply natural political power. Having a paper dollar allows politicians to promise benefits without having to deliver the taxes to finance them. So I see this as more of a natural evolution. It happens in every democracy. It's happened for as long as we have recorded history. There has never been a paper currency standard that survived for very long. And never in history before has there been a global paper standard, which is what we have now. It's lasted 40 years since 1971. In my opinion, the collapse of the paper dollar is absolutely inevitable, regardless of who it benefits. And I think that it does collapse and we go to a precious metals-backed standard, which is, by the way, what we had constitutionally in this country originally, and what we had for 200 years, it would benefit the common man the most, because it would make it impossible for the politicians to have the power of an unlimited checkbook, and that is the greatest risk to real liberty in our country.
Well, I couldn't say it any better. In fact, I mean, I can't break it down as succinctly as you do. Bottom line, Porter Stansberry, you are the only major analyst out there who called Bear Stearns, who called GM, who called Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. You know, you were the first, and that was what was so frightening whenever I saw your analysis 5 months ago when your video first came out and we contacted you about coming on, because I watched your video, I read your newsletter, I concur with it, but you had the courage to come out and tell the truth. Now I think it's time to just focus on two fronts. How do we politically try to reverse this, A, but B, hope for the best, prepare for the worst? How do we individually protect ourselves?
Well, okay. The answer to the first question is, as you probably know, I'm certainly not a political analyst. You know, the politics of this country and all the lobbying and everything that goes on, I really, truly do not understand, except for I see how corrupt it is and I want to just stay away from it. But if you wanted to solve our problems, and I have no doubt that our politicians could care less about solving our problems, all they want is more power. But if you wanted to solve our problems, you need three things, okay? Number one, you got to have sound money, and that means gold and silver-backed currency. Number two, you got to have a balanced budget amendment. Why? Because it's morally reprehensible to pass on our debts to our children and our grandchildren. And it's just common sense. You can't go on forever borrowing money. Everyone should know that. And the number three thing I believe we need, and I think this is probably going to be unpopular by some of your listeners, but I believe we got to have it, and I want to explain why. We have to have a flat tax. I don't care if it's a flat sales tax. I don't care if it's a flat income tax. We have to have a provision that will prevent the progressive nature of the income
tax. Because we spend $400-plus billion just on the CPAs a year. I agree with the flat tax. The problem is they're going to give us a flat tax and keep the income tax. You watch.
I agree with that, and I understand that. I'm not advocating that. But the fact is that progressive income taxes have allowed politicians to save for years and years and years and years. I can give you benefits and you won't have to pay for them because we will make the rich pay. Folks, it's a lie. If you took 100% of the income of everyone in this country who earns more than $250,000 a year, if you took all of it, all of their income, we would still have a deficit. It's people vote in a different way when they don't have to pay the bill. And that's why every American should pay the same rate of tax. It's not because the rich aren't going to pay more. They're still going to pay a lot more. But the fact is you're going to vote differently when you realize that you will have to pay the bill. There is no Santa Claus. There is no way to get something for nothing. Paper money doesn't work. It leads to inflation. Eventually it leads to default and collapse. America, you got to grow up. I've heard from some subscribers raging about how any cut to Social Security or Medicare should be off the table. Look, if we don't cut Medicare and Social Security benefits, our entire country will be bankrupt in 10 years. That's not an exaggeration. That's a fact. So people who claim they are owed something by our government are the same kind of people who invested in Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff might owe them money. That might be absolutely the truth, but it's irrelevant because Bernie Madoff was a lie and a con. And the same thing is true about the benefits you've been promised by our government. They cannot be delivered.
Porter, now let's shift gears because I skipped this network break to continue this information so important. Continue with now solutions, how we individually protect ourselves. And I understand it's in the newsletter. Folks can find that in the free video at endofamericavideo.com. People need this information, endofamericavideo.com. There's so much info in that hour-long video. But I mean, specifically, and I understand it varies individual to individual.
Absolutely.
But basics.
Sure, basics. Three main ideas. Number one, put yourself on a gold standard. And by that I mean, you know, for your liquid savings, take your money out of the bank, put it in gold and silver bullion. Number two, if you are a person of means, invest in real estate overseas. Get money out of the U.S. and get it out of the U.S. in a way that is not tracked by the U.S. government. So you do not have to report foreign holdings of real estate. You do have to report foreign holdings of almost every other type. So buy foreign real estate if you want to get $1 million outside the U.S. Why would you want to get it outside the U.S.? Because believe me, the only way to pay these bills, and after the default happens, you're going to see a lot of new rules about moving money around. The government is going to try some massive wealth tax, where they're going to require you to pay some percentage of your net worth and send it to Washington, D.C. That's the only possible way after we default to regain stability in our country, and they're going to try to take it out of the hives of wealthy people. That's the only way to do it. So gold and silver for yourself, foreign real estate if you're wealthy, and as a third thing that my newsletter really specializes in is figure out how to use this crisis to make some extra money for yourself. So sure, we've done well speculating in silver, but as you know, in the past, we've also done very well by shorting select stocks that are very exposed to higher interest rates, very exposed to currency fluctuations, and we're going to continue to do the same thing for our readers going forward.
Well, I was reading what you were writing 4 or 5 years ago. You were predicting all of this because of the clear move towards fiscal irresponsibility, monetization of debt. They weren't slowing down. They were accelerating. You talked about food production, raw materials, rare earth minerals, farmland. Now look at the speculators. They figured it out late. They're rushing in. Those prices are going up across the board. They'll probably still go up more, but what an even better investment if they'd have listened to you 4 years ago, or if folks would have listened to us 11 years ago when silver was $5 and I should get into it, when gold was $260 and I should get into it. But I also see a reverse psychology, Porter, where some people, and I've got some extended relatives that I see a few times a year, and they'll make jokes that I told them buy gold at $300. They'll make jokes, and I'll say, well, I still advise you to buy gold and silver. And they go, oh, you advise, and they'll start laughing at me. And I'm like, what's funny about gold up 450%, silver up 750% plus? I mean, how in America with some people is it evil to be right, evil to be accurate, you know, more than the mainstream media, because they're being, you know, inaccurate on purpose? Is it that they don't like the fact that they were wrong, and so they still want to play a mental game with themselves that you're wrong?
You know, it's one of the craziest things that I have seen in my career. In the fall of 2008, my firm was the only research firm in America that had predicted almost everything that happened almost exactly as it did. You know, we predicted the bankruptcy of General Motors, of Lehman, of Bear, the failure of Merrill. I said in June of 2008 that Fannie and Freddie would go to zero, and that's exactly what happened. And yet, in November of 2008, we had a record number of refund demands, because people hadn't listened to us, they hadn't taken our advice, and they were mad at us because of it, and so they wanted their subscription money back. It's hard to believe, but it's exactly what happened. And not only that, but I had hundreds of letters from people telling me that because I was warning about the bankruptcy of General Motors, I was responsible for it. There's some idea in our country that if you write about something that's going to happen, you're promoting it.
Oh, I get it every day. Newspapers in the last week have said that I am causing pessimism porn, that I and others are responsible. It's the Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen. It's the tens of trillions. But no, it's Porter Stansberry's fault. It's Gerald Celente's fault. It's Alex Jones's fault. It's Ron Paul's fault. No, it is not our fault. We warned you about the pit out in the field. We didn't make you go out there and fall into it.
That's right. That's right. You know, Alex, if I can just give you one quick fact, and this is every time I'm writing my newsletter or writing a report and I'm thinking, you know, am I sure I have this right? What I'm about to say sounds pretty extreme. Do I really have the facts to back this up? There is now $681,000 in debt per U.S. family. That's total debt in our country. $681,165, to be precise, debt per U.S. family. Can you, how many families do you know that can finance $681,000 in debt?
Maybe 2%.
What we're facing as a nation is completely impossible. You cannot make the math work.
And this is exactly what the bankers want. And we're going to hold you over a little bit in the next hour, but the best place to watch the free video and to find links to all the different newsletter products, endofamericavideo.com, endofamericavideo.com. Very, very simple, easy, endofamericavideo.com. It is up there right now for you, and I feel really good telling folks to buy silver and gold. I feel good telling folks to get storable food. I feel good 10 years ago saying get a farm. I've now finally done it. Small, tiny thing, 9 acres, but a place to, you know, be safe. The point is that it is now time to protect yourselves, and there's no silver bullet. Nothing's perfect. None of us are God or omnipresent, but I'm telling you, I read the newsletter. The stuff in there is invaluable. Endofamericavideo.com. Check it out today. A little more time with Porter Stansberry straight ahead. Stay with us. All right, 5 more minutes with Porter Stansberry. Maybe we'll do 20 more. I mean, I've just got so much to do here at the office. I know he's busy. Drudge Report is linked and really slowing InfoWars right now. We've been trying to beef the servers up. Miss America sexually molested by TSA. Got to continue the fight against that slave training that's going on. She said they really grabbed her. Her private parts hard. Just unbelievable that that's happening. You know, Porter Stansberry, the system is setting up this police state knowingly ahead of the financial collapse. And we've now gotten Army documents that told us what we already knew, that for a decade, they've known that this derivatives-connected, Glass-Steagall-connected collapse was coming. So they've cold-bloodedly set this up to destroy the middle class, give themselves more power, and then they'll pose as the saviors. And I know we go back to the political issue, and then you're like, look, all I'm saying is I know I can help people try to protect themselves, but the two do go together. I mean, it's so horrible to see this road we're going down. And are you encouraged, though, or do you agree that we've seen a massive shift in media to where more and more they're having to admit that the straits are dire?
That's a great question, Alex. I think that the numbers are so big now that even, you know, sort of the most naive newspaper journalist who doesn't know anything about finance is having a hard time, you know, coming up with a way to explain it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, can you remember there was a time when $1 trillion annual deficit was a crisis? You know, in 2008, Congress almost didn't pass the financial bailout because it was going to mean a $1 trillion deficit, and everyone was terrified what that would mean for the dollar. And now, $1 trillion deficits are just no big deal. We've had a $1 trillion deficit for 3 years in a row. We're going to have a $1 trillion deficit for at least the next 3 years. No one cares anymore. It's almost like the entire monetary system in America is spinning out of control. And that's exactly what's happening. So I think it's just that the facts are so bad, the numbers are so bad, that the lies aren't going to cover it anymore. So they're kind of backed in the corner of having to say, hey, you know what, maybe this isn't sustainable.
But then they push austerity on the welfare moms and unions and the poor, some of it who can't survive without it. And I look at all the numbers, you could get rid of their entitlements and it's not going to fix it. This thing is so huge. What do we do? Just tell the big central banks, look, we're not going to pay for your derivatives? I mean, is that the start of it?
You know, I definitely think that bailing out the banks was an enormous, enormous, disgraceful decision that was made. I agree completely with you on that issue. And what I'm saying is, look, why can't somebody, isn't the president supposed to be honest with the American people? Isn't the Republican Party supposed to be the party of fiscal responsibility? Where is the leader in America who will stand up and tell the American people the truth? We are broke, Alex. If we continue to spend this way, prices are going to just continue to go up. That doesn't help anybody. You know, you think, oh yeah, we got to keep giving the money to the welfare moms and all that stuff. And hey, that is probably a social obligation we should live up to. But we have to pay for it. We can't just print it. That's not going to help them.
No, I hear you. But then if some of the welfare moms, we've seen it in cases like L.A., I mean, if they don't get those checks for a couple weeks, cities are going to burn.
Oh, and that was one of my, that's my biggest warning to people. There are 45 million people on food stamps, Alex. If we don't get the corn crop in the ground because the weather's so bad right now in the Midwest, they can't get it in the ground, what the heck is going to happen? You know, I mean, and even with even just regular inflation, food prices have probably doubled in the last year. So what's going to happen? You can't print money to pay for food stamps,
and
because printing money causes the food prices to go up.
And exactly, with inflation, they can't increase the size of the checks. They've frozen the COLA on Social Security, things that people paid into. Pretty soon, the welfare check or the Social Security check or the food stamps aren't going to be able to get you the food you need.
That's right. You know what? I'm going to sell my gold and my silver, Alex. I'm going to sell my gold and my silver when someone of an important position in the government stands up and tells the American people the truth, that we have to cut the budget by an enormous percentage, and that we have to, therefore, everything is on the table. The military, Social Security, Medicare, social programs, Department of Education, everything has
absolutely
to be.
Absolutely. Porter.
There is no way to make these numbers work without real, real cuts.
Absolutely. Porter Stansberry, endofamericavideo.com, endofamericavideo.com. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I hope you can come back very, very soon.
Anytime, Alex. I love your show.
Amazing. Let me say bye to you.